You recording?
I'm recording now.
All right, let me start the streams.
I thought I was streaming it.
No, you're streaming on that. I'm streaming on the fucking hot mic.
I thought you said I'm all right, Spider.
What are you talking about?
Really?
No, I said you should record it.
I said I thought you said I was all right, Spider.
No, I'm all right. No, I need you to do it because I was just fucking trying to record. It wasn't recording. I was getting an echo.
You need me to do what?
Just record the show and stream it on the fucking, on the RAN.
Like we're doing now.
Like you've been doing it. I'm streaming for Hot Mic. That's my stream. Get it?
So if then is now, when will now be then?
Soon.
All right, so you're screaming?
I'm streaming on the Hot Mic whenever it decides to go live. Okay, we are live on Hot Mic.
Kevin, you're screaming Norman Smiley.
Ah! Come on, can we get an intro? Let's get this going. You are recording, right?
Like I am recording. Yes, the Lando Cat. What is this thing? Lado Cast.
Ladio Cast, baby.
That's recording.
All right, let's do this.
All right, episode 480 of the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast comes to you live on the rant, on the hot mic. We're talking Money in the Bank. We're talking IC Tournament. We're talking with Prince Nana. We're talking all things pro wrestling tonight on the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast.
The following is a presentation of the Shining Wizards Network, broadcasting live on rantiumradio.com and available on all podcast platforms and at shiningwizards.com. Follow us on social media at Wizards Podcast. Get our merchandise at merch.shiningwizards.com. Shop at Amazon at amazon.shiningwizards.com. And become a patron at patreon.com/wizardspodcast. As always, we thank you for your continued support. And now, enjoy the show.
All right, this is Michael Bennett, and you're listening to Shining Wizard Podcast. Check them out. They love Ace Ventura, and they're diehard Patriots fans.
What's up, fuckers?
I have a small dick.
Whoa!
How dare you?
God damn!
Ladies and gentlemen, the Shining Wizard.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are still under quarantine, but we're still back at your ass. It's the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast, where, of course, it's wrestling talk.
And talk about wrestling.
Tony.
Matt.
Kevin.
We are live. We are on the hot mic. We are live on RantDM Radio at RantDMRadio.com. And we are all up in them guts. Boys, how was your week? Okay, then. Thanks for tuning in, everyone. We'll see you later.
It was okay. It was nothing to write home about. Pretty busy, actually. Full of wrestling and work and Mother's Day and being busy and all that good stuff. No complaints. Still healthy. Still alive. Still kicking. Still, what?
And how about you, K-Dog?
Ooh, K-Dog.
K-Dog? Bow, wow, wow, yippee-yo, yippee-yay.
How was your week, dude?
Oh, dude, they all, it's the same. Don't even ask me anymore. It's the same thing every week. I got nothing.
Same as nothing it ever
good,
was.
Nothing good to bring to the table.
Same as it ever was. I was putting smiles on mom's faces all over North Jersey. I was rocking them flowers to everybody. My car wouldn't start Saturday morning, so I had to get out there and fucking jumpstart it today. My iPhone got a swollen battery, and I was one day past my fucking 90-day warranty, and the people at Apple hooked me up. My brand new replacement is on its way in the mail, free of charge. I've had an exciting week.
Nice, nice. How'd my wife do at the flower shop?
She's awesome, dude. I love that she's like, take charge. And she's like, it's like, all right, we got this, this, and this. She's like, okay, perfect. Boom, done. No issues, no problems. She was fucking awesome. She was awesome. Not like some of the other
issue. Drivers. I don't even know you.
Hi-o.
She said she had a good time.
It's fun. It's fun. It is a lot of laughs. Well, you've worked at the shop before, haven't you?
I have. Did you hear our ridiculous plug on the Dynamite show?
Of course I did. And I appreciate it. Unfortunately, I did not get word of any phone calls to do a Undertaker impression or a Vince McMahon impression or any kind of impression. So, but we did put smiles on a lot of faces. And, you know, we actually, you know, with COVID, it's kind of hard to come by a lot of stuff. And as you know, the local archdiocese, who happens to run a few of the cemeteries in my area, including the biggest cemetery in the area, decided to be a great idea to open it up for the first time during the quarantine on Mother's Day. So you can only imagine the traffic with that, plus all the other florists in the area jumping on the bandwagon, deciding to open up for flowers and cemetery goodies and whatnot. So it was a fucking busy-ass traffic day going through town on Sunday. But
did you happen to run into The Undertaker or AJ Styles or the Good Brothers at the cemetery?
Well, I did see a bottle of Pert Plus at the bottom of one of the graves, so I can only assume that they had been there at some point. But because, you know, AJ's got that fucking awesome hair. It's a shame he can't win a fucking Money in the Bank match worth a damn fucking ass.
You know what they say, hair today, gone tomorrow.
Well, his opportunity for a fucking world title shot's gone thanks to that slob doing his fucking work. Wish he would have fucking did a worm right off the building.
Just we got stepped all over that joke.
Awful.
All right, well, let's get into it. Money in the Bank. I watched it this afternoon. I had zero interest in watching it yesterday.
Yeah, you did.
No, I didn't. The Last Dance was on, and I'm more dialed into something that happened almost 30 years ago.
In like your least favorite sport.
I used to be a huge basketball fan when I was a kid. Huge.
Dude,
like that.
Basketball in the 90s fucking ruled. Even I was a basketball fan in the 90s. And it wasn't just Jordan. It wasn't just the Bulls. They had some amazing fucking teams like through the 80s and the 90s, man. Basketball fucking ruled back then.
It really did. And you could just tell, you could see that because like then there, because if you watch the show, there's like cameos and interviews with people that you forgot existed till like now. And then you see him, you're like, oh my God, he was so good back then. Like Gary Payton. Like, when was the last time you heard Gary Payton's name? And then he was like the best defensive player in the league for like 5 years. And sorry, it's pretty. Nick Anderson from the Magic. When was the last time you heard Nick Anderson's name? God, it was so cool. I loved it. I had to watch the replays because I was watching Money in the Bank live. So I stayed up till 2 o'clock in the morning watching The Last Dance.
You know, I'd tell you this much. Anybody who was into video games around that time, all you had to do was pull up NBA Jam or Tournament Edition or Hang Time, and you get a fucking awesome flavor of just how good the talent was in the NBA during that time. It was fucking sick. Absolutely sick.
And wasn't Michael Jordan not even in NBA Jam?
He wasn't. Scottie Pippen was the head of the Bulls in the game.
It was like Scottie Pippen and Tony Kukoc, right?
I think they added Dennis Rodman in the Tournament Edition because they would do 3 or 4 man squads depending on the team. But it was good shit,
yeah,
man.
I'm pretty sure it was Scottie Pippen and Horace Grant.
Horace Grant was on there too, but maybe Rodman was. I don't know. I'd have to check that. But yeah, you're right. I do remember Horace Grant being on there. Absolutely. And my fucking favorite team. If you knew the code, you could be the Beastie Boys.
You with
Mike,
the fucking
Rock and MCA, bro. They were the best.
You with the codes. You can't just ever just be the guys in the game. You got to make Super Tony Z and Super FFB and dominate every wrestling game. You and your cousin are fucking houses. You can't do insecurity kicks. You fucking dickheads.
NBA Jam codes were different. They were like silly, funny codes.
Yeah, it had a team. It was just like they had actual statistics. It's not like they were like nines across the board or anything.
No, not like you. When you create yourself in a video game, you fucking cheater.
Fuck that, dude. I'm the
you
best.
Fucking That's cheater.
Cheater.
Cheater. Johnny Scumbani, cheater. So, no, I had zero interest in Money in the Bank. Tony, you continue to reign supreme. Oh, and Kevin also decided last night, and I don't disagree with him, that fucking MVP R-Truth match doesn't count, okay?
Are you serious?
What do you mean, are you serious?
Because I took Lashley. Count. Well, I took MVP.
You didn't take Lashley.
Dude, you took R-Truth. You took R-Truth. You should deserve to lose. Why would you ever think R-Truth was going to win that match?
Bro, he's like a 70-time 24/7 champion, and if it was against MVP, MVP doesn't need to win against R-Truth.
Wait a minute. 70-time champion, right?
Oh,
is
yeah.
Is he the champion now?
I don't know. Who's the champion?
Rob Gronkowski.
That's still
so
a thing?
He's the 70-time champion, right? So that means he what? He lost it 70 times, didn't he?
Yeah.
Matt, what does that make him, Matt?
It makes him a fucking loser.
There you go. And you really thought, dude, how could you have Jeff Hardy win and then R-Truth win? It's not happening, bitch.
Well, I didn't pick Jeff Hardy to win.
Well, you're a fucking idiot, too.
I like Cesaro.
I like him, too. He wasn't beating Jeff Hardy, dude. I mean, come on.
Also, don't know. So we have a Discord, which is like a fancy message board.
Oh, it is fan-fucking-tastic. For those of you not on the Discord yet, get up on that shit. It's so much fun.
And I've been super excited about it all week, and I think we've had a really good time. Kevin did great during SmackDown and Money in the Bank, talking to people and chatting it up. Friday
Kevin
night,
Kevin got me to watch SmackDown. That's how fucking great it was.
Well, that's what I was going to say. When I came home from work Friday night, I showered, I freshened up, I ate dinner, and then I watched for the first time, I don't even know since when, but I watched SmackDown just so I could go in the WWE chat, and I was fair. I thought I was fair. I've not brought the negative to the chat. I'm fair. People, I know I'm not a WWE fan. I'm not the biggest fan, but I was fair. I saw what they were doing. It was what it was. I mean, I was I don't know, man.
Breaking the ladder, trying to climb it at the end.
Oh, well, this is Money in the Bank now. We're going to go Money in the Bank.
That shit went off forever.
No, he did it on SmackDown. It was actually pretty funny.
Oh, did he?
Otis guy. It was pretty funny.
But it went on forever, dude. First, it was like Daniel Bryan jumping back in, and then Corbin, and then Otis was trying to climb again, and then finally Corbin went up there. It was like, come on, dude.
I felt like it's like that YouTube video that everyone shares, that everyone considers like the best finish to SmackDown ever, where it's like a run-in after run-in from the Alliance versus the WWE days. I'm like, this isn't that good. Like, everyone, the best ending to SmackDown. No, no, it's not. Shut your face. It's the worst.
Did the Undertaker stand tall at the end of that?
I don't remember, dude.
I think he was the last guy to come out, if I remember right. But yeah.
I thought it had to have been Austin, didn't it?
No, because Austin was on the Alliance, so they needed a WWE guy to come out.
Not if it was a go-home. Get the heat.
Well, didn't the Alliance wind up winning that shit anyway? I don't know. I don't fucking
remember. No, I think if I remember correctly, I think like there was like the double cross where like Kurt Angle came back or something like that. There was like, they had like 10 different 10-man tag team matches during that feud.
Yeah, when you have an Alliance team where you have two federations under one banner and you still need Shane McMahon and former WWE guys to be on that team, you got fucking problems. You really got.
Yeah, Kurt Angle and Stone Cold are on that team.
And Shane McMahon. Fucking ridiculous. Oh, sorry, let's get back to Money in the Bank.
Tony went 5-2.
Wait, should I play the music?
Oh, yeah, you want to play the music? Go ahead, play the music since you hate the picks.
I hate the picks, too.
It's time for the pay-per-view picks that suck dicks. Ah!
Wow, okay. Really?
Yeah, I hate them, dude.
You went 5-2. How are you going to complain when you had a winning record?
Because I fucking hate doing
You're
this.
Still in first place.
That's a product that I don't care about.
I mean, I don't care either, but I didn't watch it live. I watched it today after I knew the results. But you went 5-2, Tony. I went 4-3. Kevin went 3-4. We all lost.
That's right.
We all lost the Money in the Bank matches.
Obviously. Those were the only two I lost, didn't it?
Yes, those are the only two you lost. Kevin went, you know, Kevin's trying to make up ground. I give him credit. He's trying. He picked the Forgotten Sons,
Oof. And
he picked Bray Wyatt.
That's right.
I lost.
There's no logic anymore. So I don't think any pick is a bad pick.
Yeah, but in honesty, they weren't going to put they weren't going to take the belt off the guys that they had just put them on a month ago at WrestleMania.
There's no normal anymore. This is nothing like we've ever seen. Tony, this is not no normal. This is the new normal.
Stop it! No! Don't say that, dude. Not the new
normal. They could literally do anything they want to right now, and no one would A, bat an eye, and I feel like I sound like Matt now, give a crap about it, because I certainly don't care right now. That's how disgusted I was with that pay-per-view last night.
Oh, Kevin didn't like the pay-per-view. That's crazy.
It was, I think the, oh boy. All right. Where?
I'll give you two high spots, two pluses that I really liked.
Pluses.
Bailey Tamina.
Okay.
And Rollins McIntyre. That was it.
Okay. I can.
But to be fair, I did not see Cesaro and Jeff Hardy. So to be fair, I didn't see that.
I kind of agree with Kevin. I liked Bailey Tamina. I am curious as to how long they're going to play this Sasha Bailey game, because there was a pre-match interview with that girl, and she wanted to ask Sasha a question, and Bailey like snatched the mic out of the way and answered it, and then Bailey went to the ring because her music played, and Sasha was like hesitant, looking back at the microphone before she went to the ring, so. I don't know how long, like this has been going on for a while, right? The Sasha. This Sasha Bailey, like teasing of when Sasha's going to finally like have enough of it.
I'm not positive, but I think it's might be pushing 2 years, and that's not a fucking exaggeration. It's been going on that long.
And then,
The whole back and forth relationship, like the friends, the feud, the friends, this and that. Yeah, Tony's probably right. Probably about 2 years.
It even stretched through their tag title loss last year at Mania when she quit, when Sasha quit for a while. So yeah, it has been going on for a long time already.
I don't hate it though.
Yeah, it's just kind of there at this point.
Yeah, but when do you pull, like, I get it. Like, I don't know if they. Are we waiting till they can pull the trigger in front of fans, or like what are we doing here? Because there's talk. The mayor of Boston was like, "Hey, SummerSlam, not really gonna happen here. Sorry, guys."
Well, they could always move it.
No, I understand, but what are we? Are we waiting for fans, or when are we going to pull the trigger on this?
Well, maybe they could have it in the Finger Lakes.
Well, that was the other question with Otis, because from what I've been reading, it's like, do you really want to pull the trigger on Otis getting his title shot at, like, you know, with the cashing in an empty arena, or do you want to save that for the big pop that it's going to get because Otis is really popular right now?
Oh, he stinks.
They did he did like an interview before Money in the Bank. Otis did, and he said if he got the briefcase that him and Tucker were going after the tag titles.
Well, good for him. It's almost as bad as Loki, who won fucking what thing?
I take it back. Otis is the man.
What did Loki win when he was there? Didn't he win like Tough Enough or some shit like that when he was?
No, he won. Was it Tough Enough?
He won the ability to cat. Like,
oh no, he won NXT. He won Next. He won when NXT was that other format. Caval.
Okay, so he won that, and he was allowed to have a title match, but then he was leaving the company, so he cashed it in for the Intercontinental belt, and he lost, and then he fucking left.
Then he teamed with MVP.
Is that who he cashed it in against?
No, Dolph Ziggler.
They were a tag team.
Wait, he was tag teaming with MVP? Seriously?
Yeah.
I don't
remember. Yeah, pretty sure. I'm pretty sure. They both wore blue. That's how I remember it. Pretty sure. MVP, they put with some weird teams. They put MVP with, like, Mark Henry, and they were a team for a while. Matt Hardy, Ken Anderson for a little bit.
So why didn't he wrestle at the pay-per-view? What was the story?
Probably just to get Lashley on, I would imagine.
I wonder if it was a situation where they never had any intention of making him wrestle, if they're sort of like doing a thing between the two of them.
It makes sense to me.
Because didn't MVP say his time in the ring was over when he wrestled at one of the, like, earlier in the year at the Rumble or something, or after?
No, I think it was his match against Mysterio on the Raw after. He kind of said that was his last match, but he still had wrestled since.
Right, because didn't he wrestle in a qualifying Money in the Bank match and he lost, right? MVP?
Yeah. He lost. Who did he lose to? Oh,
Mysterio?
God,
did he lose to Mysterio?
No. Mysterio beat somebody else. Oh my God, who did he lose to? I'm going to get it. It wasn't Aleister Black, was it?
I have no idea. You're the one that's supposed to know all this shit.
Hey, listen, I don't work there anymore.
Yeah, but you worked there.
I think he lost to Aleister Black.
Well, while you ponder, Tamina Bailey was a good match. And McIntyre and Rollins had a nice match, and it really picked up speed at the end, and I enjoyed that. The stuff with Braun and Bray, I mean, I like how they kind of went back to where, you know, Bray brought him in as the black sheep, and they tried to play that up, and then the sheep's mask. But then, I don't know, man, the puppets at ringside, it's just fucking weird. It's all weird. I don't like it. I didn't enjoy it. And then Bray puts the mask on and he hugs him and we think it's going to be okay, but then it's not okay. I know what they're doing. It's all setting up the Fiend to come back to take what they call it, a distraction. Bray says he's dead. Braun's got to hit the distraction around his waist and he wants to take it off of him. But I don't know, man.
The burden.
The burden. I don't know, man. It wasn't for me. The tag match was okay. The four-way tag match.
What is
Corey Graves' deal? Is he a heel? Is he a face?
He's a dick. He's always been a dick. He will forever be a dick.
Like in he's one sentence, he's he really is. In one, it's not. I can't blame him 100% because you know he's being overproduced in the headsets. In one sentence, he's putting over the New Day, and the next sentence, he's shitting on them, and then he's putting over Lucha House Party. And then he's shitting on the New Day. I'm like, what the fuck is going on here? And then he's complaining when a good guy breaks the rules. But then he complains when a bad guy breaks the rules. And I'm like, what the fuck are you doing?
Can I tell you? I don't think he's being overproduced. I think that's just him.
Then he fucking sucks at his job. I'm sorry.
Sure does. He sure does.
Oh, God. And then the fucking Money in the Bank match. I mean, I'll give him credit for doing something different, but I fucking hated the whole goddamn thing.
I thought it had so much promise at the beginning, like starting out. It was weird that they were all in their tights though and their gear. Found that strange.
You didn't find it strange that they all waited around for each other to walk past each other and then get in a big huddle?
Well, if you think about it this way, and this is where I kind of just going to retract my statement, because for a while, I actually forgot that a ring was involved in the match. I literally just thought it was like just like a fight in the building and not even knowing that I forgot that there was a ring on the roof. But if you think about it, if it was like a match, they would be doing that anyway. When like you get intros, you walk by them in the ring, you cross them to go to the ropes.
You don't stand next to them like that, though. There's distance, right, in the ring?
Well, yeah, but there's corners. There's no corners here. I understand what you're saying, but I actually did enjoy the opening, especially to the woman's part with Asuka jumping off the thing and then the elevator stuff. I thought that, like I said, it showed a lot of promise. I really enjoyed it for like the first maybe like 5 minutes, and then oof-a-loo.
Look, if you are into the entertainment thing and you like these like overproduced things, that it's kind of like Lucha Underground on steroids, right? This is what they're kind of presenting. Like, it's essentially an entertainment show about wrestling.
Yeah.
Right? It's like what Lucha Underground was doing, but it's not the whole product, but when they do these, you know, the Boneyard match worked because of the it's the Undertaker. Like, this is going to work because he's a mysterious figure.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, the fucking can't, like...
Like, they did really good stuff with this type of stuff with WrestleMania, with the Boneyard and the Firefly, and even on NXT with Gargano Ciampa. This seems like, all right, like, we know we can do it. Let's try to force everything we can. And like, they jumped the shark. Like, they had a good thing going for a little while when... Now, let me ask you this. They actually had matches, so why couldn't they just make these, like, matches? You know what I mean? It's not like they didn't have any other matches on the show. They were wrestling matches on the show, you know, with the same amount of... Look at that four-way tag team match. There were... That's eight people in a match. Why couldn't they just do that?
Because I think Vince sees it as an opportunity to create something completely different from anything he's ever done. And good or bad, indifferent, people were talking about it last night.
Is it me, or does it just feel like with nobody there and with the Performance Center being all like gloss and show, it just seems very sterile. Like, it doesn't seem like there should be a wrestling show being produced there. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's got a very, like, weird kind of feel to it. I don't know. Maybe that's why it's hard for me to watch it and get into it, actually, you know?
It's because there's if Michael Cole or Corey Graves is not saying anything, there's just silence. Like, at one point, I thought my TV froze today when I was watching that Rollins-McIntyre match because they weren't saying anything. Nobody was saying anything. I was like, what the fuck? And to fast forward to the end of the match, I swear to God they just took a clip from a WWE 2K video game when Otis won, because Michael Cole was like, and Otis is the winner of Money in the Bank. Asuka is the winner of Money in the Bank. I'm like, could you give us something? Well, I can't believe Asuka won again, or she's the first woman to win the Money in the Bank and the Royal Rumble. Like, give me some fucking, act like you're invested in it. It was so fucking boring. I was like, all right, well, whatever. And I don't understand why Baron Corbin and her didn't just grab a fucking briefcase at the same time.
Now, let me ask you this. Was one specified for, like was Baron Corbin closer to the one that was for Asuka? Or was Asuka closer
to the
one that
was she was over the one she was going to grab, and he could easily just reached up and grabbed the other one, and the two heels could have fucking smashed the Money in the Bank cases together like Stone Cold and some beers and go, hell yeah, off the top of fucking Titan Towers and called it a day. But they fought! For what?
Maybe Corbin wanted both.
He can't have both. It's only women can go after the men's titles. The men's can't go after the women's titles.
Wait.
Here we go.
Knock on your door, dicko. Seriously? You're gonna try to sell me what I've been selling for fucking months now?
No. It's just stupid that she kicked him off the ladder. If he was a face, maybe. But he's a bad guy. They both want the cases, right? I hated fucking the Stephanie McMahon bullshit with Dana Brooks. Like, we're supposed to believe that Dana Brooks is an idiot and thought the Money in the Bank briefcase was in a fucking meeting room versus it being touted as being on top of Titan Towers for weeks now? So she's just a ditzy blonde with big tits? Come on. And then Stephanie's like, no, clean this up. She's drooling on the floor. Fucking dumb bullshit. Fucking Otis putting the weights on AJ, I thought was brilliant. But then AJ walking around looking for Rey Mysterio, I'd be like, just go to the fucking roof, stupid, and get the briefcase.
Yeah, why
it's not hide and seek.
That sounds stupid. Why would they ever do something like that? If the eyes on the prize, why would you look for somebody when you should be going after the object that's the point of the match?
And then, how did AJ get the thing off of him? Then he sees the Undertaker thing, and he gets all scared. Now he's having fucking flashbacks. Fine, whatever. Then Aleister Black locks him in a room with the casket. How did he get out of the room?
Did he get out of the room?
Yeah, because he fucking came around the corner and blasted somebody when they were fighting in the hallway.
Okay, I didn't watch it, but I got to ask. Did anybody fall off the roof?
Yeah, two people got thrown off the roof.
Who?
What?
Mysterio and Aleister Black.
Yes, but what? Tony.
Did they? Was that supposed to be the thing?
Yes. But when they panned.
You heard like a noise, like right when he landed.
Yeah, that was them like hitting. Second. Was them hitting the crash pad when they panned over the top? Somebody had paused it, and you could see the crash pad outside of where they were throwing people out.
Wonderful. Absolutely.
I must have been engaged in the Discord in that point. I didn't see that. They showed somebody hanging from the roof?
No, it's on the internet somewhere. It's a still shot when they were doing those wide shots at the top of the building, and behind like all the shrubbery and shit, like maybe like 5 feet down, there's a big empty space, and you can see a big black crash pad and just a dude standing there, like waiting for them to come flying over.
Was he there to catch him in case they actually accidentally rolled off the roof?
No, there was plenty of room for them to hit that and not fall off the roof, so it wasn't a big issue. There was no ladder spots like a traditional Money in the Bank match. The fucking food fight was very Saturday night main event when Uncle Elmer got married.
They had a food fight?
Yes, had a food fight.
I have to watch this now. Absolutely 100% that's going to be on the watch list.
With Paul Heyman.
Made no sense.
Wait, Paul Heyman was in the catering area?
Paul Heyman was like sitting at a catering table, and he had this whole spread out in front of him.
Do you want to hear the list of cameos?
Yes, please.
You want to hear the list of cameos?
Yes.
All right. The first one we saw was Brother Love coming out of a stall.
What was the second one?
Coming out of a bathroom stall. The next one we saw, which I don't even know, to be honest. There was a weird Doink the Clown person-ish. Like, I guess it was supposed to be Doink, but the makeup was nothing like Doink ever wore. He had the wig on, but it looked like he was, if I remember correctly, he was wearing a button-down shirt. I might not be remember correctly, but that was the second one. It was like some weird Doink knockoff weird thing. And then we saw, I believe before we saw Stephanie, we saw Johnny Ace.
Oh, God, Power to the People, People Power?
Yeah, so he was, there were, I forget who was fighting, but all of a sudden Johnny Ace rolls by in his Rascal and just says, oh, it was Otis at the, Otis was at like a buffet or something. And so Otis was at a buffet. Johnny Ace just scoots on by and says, People Power, raises his hand, and Otis pie faces him. So that was that. And all right, good. Matt. All right, so Matt's back.
We're getting requests on the hot mic chat that we might have to do a Money in the Bank main event watch along.
You have to do a Money in the. I'm not watching that again.
I might actually do
Matt,
that.
What did you see the Doink? Did you see the weird Doink they had?
Yes, I don't understand it, but Doink was there.
Now, do you think that was supposed to be Doink? Because it looked, wasn't he wearing, did you notice he was wearing like a button-down shirt?
No, that was some fucking guy who put on fucking Doink makeup. What the fuck are you doing, Tony?
I'm trying to entertain the people watching on Hot Mic.
They're not entertained enough by this conversation about Money in the Bank, the greatest Money in the Bank match that has ever been put on pay-per-view in the WWE Network?
I'm trying to give them Easter eggs.
Did you talk about Vince McMahon?
No, we didn't get
there. Yeah, we're getting there. I mentioned... Brother Love
taking a shit. Doink did not make up. Johnny Ace got pie faced.
You guys have to talk one at a time so people can understand you.
Johnny Ace, Doink, Brother Love taking a shit. Oh, and Paul Heyman.
And Stephanie.
And Stephanie and her fucking gross tits. Fucking yelling at Dana Brooke with her gross tits.
We didn't see anyone's gross tits. We saw Carmella had them hitters out.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, so we did see some gross tits. Okay.
Oh, my God. Are we going down? Really? What's gross
about?
We don't
know that they're gross.
Oh, come on. I guarantee you, dude.
I don't think so.
She does, like, the fucking dance like this, and, like, they're just fucking, like, stretching out all over the place.
And then there was the Vince McMahon thing where the Brian, Daniel Bryan and fucking AJ Styles were fighting into his office.
Yeah, because he just happens to be there working on a Sunday fucking night.
He wasn't even at a computer. He had a yellow legal pad out, and he was writing on it. And then he just turns around, and he stands up. He goes, "Get out!" And they both just stop what they're doing, and then they take, like, two steps towards the door, and then they go back, and they push the chairs into the table because they made the chairs move. And then they go out in the hallway, and they have, like, AJ's like, "You're a fucking pussy." Daniel Bryan's like, "You told us to push the chairs back in." AJ's like, "Oh, I guess I did." And then there's, like, the sound effect of them hitting. It was fucking bad.
So kayfabe is dead thanks to Daniel Bryan and AJ Styles.
No, it's not dead. Kayfabe's been dead for fucking 20 years, Jim Cornette.
God damn. Motherfucker's going into Vince's office.
I don't know, man. And then there, Baron Corbin threw, like, a weight in the weight room, and it fucking shattered the glass. And he, like, there was, like, this weird thing where he kept, like, looking at it.
I like that part.
Like, it's bad. Like
It was like the first person that damaged the building. So he was like, "Uh oh, what's gonna happen to me?" And he just kept staring at it, and then went on like for like a second too long. And then what was it? Rey Mysterio just came in out of nowhere, kind of got him. And then some of the stuff was cheesy too, with like AJ Styles being trapped under the weight when you could literally see there was enough room for him to slide under it if he wanted to. So. Some stuff, but listen, I loved the beginning of it, like the Brother Love stuff. The fighting in the weight room was really good. Like the like the start to the woman, Asuka in the elevator and the security camera was just, that was good stuff. I was loving every single thing about it. And then by one step, it just got bad. It was too much. I would love to know who had a hand in producing that one.
And you know what? Go ahead, Tony.
I do give them credit. At least they're trying something different. And it sounds like some of it was good and some of it was not so good. But I will have to watch it for myself, and that might be a Patreon exclusive. Maybe I'll get the kid to watch it with me too, see what he thinks, because he gives a good honest impression when he sees garbage. He's good stuff.
Just going back to my question before, like, I think people just want their wrestling. Like, I get, like, WrestleMania, you want to make a spectacle because Undertaker can't do what he used to in the ring. The Bray Wyatt, John Cena, if John Cena doesn't want it, I don't know. I'm not going to even bother to speculate why they did that. But the Johnny Gargano Ciampa thing was good. There was a lot of good wrestling, and it was still cinematic. Like, why couldn't they just, like if this is what it was going to be, and you're going to have all these other matches live in the performance center, why couldn't you just give us a Money in the Bank? Because the people, as tired as the Money in the Bank concept is, people will just still pop for the moments in the match. Like a very Mysterio moment, or like a, Daniel Bryan. Like, people will pop for stuff like that. And they didn't need to do it here, I don't think, for these matches.
I'm telling you, it's all an ego thing. So in 10 years, when WWE puts out these wonderful specials on their network, like that Undertaker thing we can get into at some point tonight, the first episode's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Like, they have the network. Like, I know people think that Disney's going to buy them or somebody else. The network's not going anywhere. This in 10 years is them patting themselves on the back and say the world was at a pandemic and there was nobody was providing live content. And we pushed the envelope and we did a Boneyard match and we did a Firefly Funhouse match and we did Money in the Bank at the Titan Towers. And but no one's going to be like, yeah, but like the Boneyard match was really great, apparently. The Firefly Funhouse thing was cool, but this was like shit.
You still haven't watched those?
I watched the Boneyard match and it just isn't.
Okay.
It wasn't in my wheelhouse.
You know what's going to happen? They're going to have like the greatest WrestleMania matches of all time, like 10 or 15 years from now. And they're going to have some of these matches up for debate, like the Boneyard match or the Firefly Funhouse match. They're going to put them in there. And people like 15 years from now are going to look at it and they're going to stare at them like a Pedro Morales or a Pat Patterson or a Ken Patera. And they're going to be like, this is some groundbreaking stuff. Yeah, but it's not from their time. So they're going to vote for the fucking Roman Reigns ends, some fucking new guy streak, or Otis finally realizes his dream and becomes the tag team champions, or some other nonsense that's going to be par for the course 15 years from now. And that's what's going
on. Did any one of those three guys you named, other than maybe a battle royal, ever even have a WrestleMania match?
Well, maybe not a WrestleMania match, but I'm sure they've had a few WrestleMania moments, right, Matt?
Ugh, I fucking hate you. I fucking hate
you. Well, Patterson was one of the refs in the main event at WrestleMania 1.
Yeah,
I think Pedro was in the Battle Royal though in WrestleMania.
Pedro
2.
Was in the Battle Royal WrestleMania 2 along with Bruno. Yes.
Yeah, but I don't know if Ken Patera back then WrestleManias were like 13 matches, so Ken Patera could have had one, right?
Ken Patera was definitely in a Survivor Series.
As far as
a WrestleMania, I don't recall.
I don't think he was.
I don't think he was ever in a WrestleMania match.
Well, unless he was in the tournament.
Didn't he wrestle Harley Race at 3? No, am I making that up?
Dog. I was Junkyard Dog.
Yeah, I'm making that up. Whatever. So they get to the... Look, let's go back to this Money in the Bank bullshit before we move on. We have Prince Nana calling in at 8 o'clock.
The embassy.
So, first of all, Asuka takes the elevator up, and it's either the slowest fucking elevator, or she just gets up there and hangs around and does nothing. Because all these people have to run up the stairs... But then they're fighting along the way, and then they go into this boardroom, and then Dana Brooke pulls down the Money in the Bank prop, and she thinks she's won. It was whatever. So we get, but somehow Asuka's like only like footsteps in front of him. She comes across like a janitor mopping the floor, and she throws a fucking mop at him, and then Dana Brooke is the only one who slips on the wet floor because her shoes suck. I don't fucking know what's going on here.
Those heavy hitters, dude. She lost her balance.
Then we get up there, and it's just, I don't know, it was fucking boring. It was boring. Nia Jax, in pre-tape, couldn't press slam anybody, and they left that in, which I thought was... She, like, goes to press slam like Dana Brooke, and she can't get her up, and she just fucking drops her.
Of course she can't. She's just fat, dude. She's not strong.
She's not fat. She's just not good.
Here's the problem, right? Look, let tell the two fat people, right? Otis, I make fun of him. He's fat. I've seen videos of him working out with Sheamus, because Sheamus has that video series that he does. Otis is a fucking strong motherfucker, dude. That guy can press shit. Nia Jax drops everything. She's almost as bad as Nyla Rose. Nyla Rose is like 400 times the size of every other woman in AEW, and she can't lift anybody for shit, dude. Just because you have extra fat or mass or whatever you want to call it on you doesn't make you strong. And if you can't fucking play off that perception, do other shit. Plow through people with shoulders. Don't try to press people if you can't fucking press them. You're just going to make yourself look stupid, and you're going to hurt somebody.
What if people have sandbag in her?
Look, if you're that size and you're playing that game, you got to be able to get him up. If there's any kind of question, just don't fucking go for it. And if she is getting sandbagged, well, fuck it. Pull a Brock Lesnar and drop her on her fucking head.
I just
Remember
don't
when you fucking broke Hardcore Holly's neck.
I just don't get this. Is like you. This clearly was taped, right? They clearly pre-recorded this. Why would you leave that in?
Maybe they want her to look bad. I don't know. Maybe that's the reputation she's got now, and they're just like, ah, fuck it. Or maybe that was like the best out of like 20 takes. We don't know. Maybe who did she press? She pressed Asuka?
Dana Brooke.
Oh Christ! Maybe Dana fucking got.
I think it was Dana Brooke. Yeah, I think it was Dana Brooke. She dropped her. She dropped somebody. It was a blonde. I don't even know. I watched it 4 hours ago. I can't remember if everybody made it to the roof. Asuka obviously made it. Nia Jax was there. I think Carmella was there. I don't think Shayna Baszler there? I don't even know if she made it to the roof. I forgot she was in the fucking match.
Yeah, I was.
What happened to her?
I was very hesitant to pick her because I really didn't have a strong feeling that she was going to win based on the way that they played her out at WrestleMania. But then I'm like, well, maybe they're having second thoughts. Maybe they'll give her a title match because then she'll be more like threatening if she can cash it in anytime, anywhere. Because that fits somebody like Shayna Baszler. But never in a million years would I think they would have pulled the trigger on Asuka. Never. Never.
And then I think all the men except for Daniel Bryan. Did Daniel Bryan make it to the roof?
Yes.
Okay, so yes. All the men made it to the roof because Baron Corbin threw off Rey and Aleister Black. Otis won. Otis knocked AJ off the thing. Baron Corbin got knocked off by Asuka. And then I guess Daniel Bryan was there somewhere. It was the most forgettable, like, I felt like Will Smith showed up and he hit me with that fucking zapper from Men in Black. Yeah. I literally watched this 4 hours ago, and I couldn't tell you. I don't think all the women made it to the roof. Or I was just that out of it. It was bad. And then, so Asuka grabs the belt, the thing, whatever, the briefcase. She's fucking screaming. She's got the green paints all smeared over her face. Like, Muda just fucking blasted her in the face.
You know what? I love that look. I love that look with the green paint and everything. I know a lot of people don't care for it. I really like that look that he's got going.
So she's the winner. Yay.
Yay.
And then Baron Corbin and AJ Styles grab the briefcase at the same time. And then there's a tug of war. And then AJ wins the tug of war. But he's got the butterfingers. And it falls. He like, oh, it goes in the air. And fucking Otis just catches it. And he's like, oh. And Otis loves to yell shit throughout. He like, he walked into the room where Johnny Ace is like, oh, dessert. And he's like fucking throwing walnuts in his face. He's like, pie. Like he's fucking George the Animal Steel.
Well, he's a fucking stupid fat guy. That's what he does. That's his gimmick, you know?
It's just not for me, man. It's a 10-year-old. Some 10-year-old, this is like the greatest thing he's ever seen. But for me, I was like, what the fuck am I watching?
What really disappoints me is this sounds like a rehash of the fucking triple threat ladder match from WrestleMania. Didn't they drop the belts on fucking Johnny Morrison's lap? Isn't that exactly what happened?
No, I think he came down. I think they both
Because the other two guys were on the top of the ladder looking down at him, and he had both belts on top of him, and they just kind of
he was laying flat on a ladder, wasn't he?
Yeah, and then somehow or another, I forget exactly, but the belts wound up on Morrison instead of the other two guys who are actually fighting over him.
I think he came down with it and landed there.
It's just weird. It's almost like the same booking. Like, why? I don't know, man. It's just weird hearing about that.
It's also weird because the way they've been booking Asuka lately has been more of a comedy. I mean, unless I'm totally misreading the way that our character is supposed to be portrayed, it seems like it's more comedy now than she's ever been. And the fact that they went with two, for lack of a better term, comedic wrestlers, even though obviously we all know what Asuka can do, and Otis isn't terrible, I'm not going to say that, but it was just very weird that they went with these bizarre, like, comedic storyline characters for the chance to win the title belts. It's just, I mean, Asuka I can always appreciate. Otis, I just think, oof. They jumped the shark so many ways in this pay-per-view.
Go ahead, Matt.
Well, now, like, you know, Raw's tonight. It's a big night. Raw's like 20 minutes away. Edge is coming back because he's looking for Randy Orton. I don't know why. Becky has a big announcement. She's got one in the oven. She's not going to wrestle anymore. She's going to give up her title to Asuka. That's what people think. This Otis thing, like, you know, him winning is like a feel-good moment. Is that the end result? Probably not. He probably loses the briefcase to AJ or Baron or somebody else.
You think this is their opportunity to do something? Say, we don't know for sure, say Becky does relinquish the belt, where she, I don't know, is she supposed to give it to Asuka, or maybe Shayna Baszler steps up and they have Shayna versus Asuka, and then what happens to the briefcase? I don't know, like, it's weird. Like, what do they do in this situation now?
Spoiler alert if you don't want to hear spoilers. It's what happens.
Oh, I don't give a shit.
I was talking to people maybe listening live. Turn it off because it's what happens.
Exactly what I just said.
No, it just I'm pretty sure she just relinquishes it to Asuka.
And so Asuka just cashes in the briefcase and that's it?
She doesn't cash in. It's like given to her.
So she still has the briefcase.
That I don't know.
See, that's weird. Now what now you have a world champion with a Money in the Bank briefcase.
Well, you know what? You have to watch Raw to find out.
And I shan't be doing that tonight.
But you know what? Like, send him home happy. Otis wins. Everyone loves Otis. He got the girl. Now he's got the briefcase. He was like, "This is for you, Mandy," or "I did it, Mandy." Some fucking Rocky reference at the end of the match. Like, send him home happy.
Who are we sending home happy?
There's people out there that love Otis winning the briefcase. And look, we say it all the time. You need to make new superstars. Is he going to have the briefcase in 3 weeks? Probably not. But you took him and he's elevated now. Like, he's a guy. He's a Money in the Bank winner. What they do with it, that's... I'm not saying he's a superstar, but you got to start somewhere. He's charismatic. He's energetic. People like him. He's funny.
Yeah, he's the kind of character that's going to be like in that Santino Marella kind of, you know, thing. Like, people just love him because of who he is. Like, is he going to be world champion? No, probably not. But is he always going to be somebody that the kids are going to look up to, that he's going to push merchandise, that everybody's going to get a nice pop and like a smile on their face when he comes out? Absolutely.
But yeah. Then why put the Money in the Bank on him? Why not give it to someone who is a believable world champion, like an Aleister Black?
Because then he can work high profile matches against AJ Styles.
Who?
Otis.
AJ Styles is on Raw.
What's Otis on?
SmackDown.
Oh, fuck this noise. I don't even know they're still doing that.
It doesn't
matter.
All right, well, maybe.
It matters.
Who's,
I mean, not to us, but it matters to them.
It matters to them because they love Otis.
No, but I'm saying the brands are still separate.
Yes.
They didn't squash that with all this stuff going on, huh?
Nope.
All right. Well, back to your Santino point, though. Wasn't he the last guy in the ring with Alberto Del Rio when he won the Royal Rumble?
Yep.
Yeah, but I mean, that was ridiculous. He did one of those, like, I'm going to go on the outside of the ring for 20 minutes and somehow sneak back in.
But if he won, people would have been happier with him winning versus Alberto.
I was hoping he would have won. Hey, you want to know when that actually, like, yeah. I fell for that bullshit. Do you remember when they had a battle royal to decide who was the new general manager of Raw?
Yep.
And the fucking Sandman was the last guy left. I'm like, you know what? Sandman is general manager. I kind of like that because he's a fucking character and he'll be hitting people with his cane and shit. And then fucking William Regal comes back in the ring and fucking throws him out. I said, well, fuck the Sandman. And I think Sandman got fired that same week, if I'm not wrong.
I remember predicting Sandman winning that battle royal before it even started. Because I'm like, that's just great television. And then they strapped a rocket to Regal again.
Could you imagine that? Like Sandman being like the fucking Raw general manager for like 6 months? That would have been fucking amazing.
Because I think this was also the same time that Regal won the King of the Ring. So he was already the GM, I think, and then won the King of the Ring.
I think
that's when they really pushed him. They really tried to, and then he got popped for a wellness violation. I think, I'm not sure which one was first, the King of the Ring or the GM, But
you know, you win the Money in the Bank, but that's not set in stone. Like, that doesn't mean that Otis is going to hold on to the briefcase until he cashes it in. There's been instances where guys defend their Money in the Bank briefcase against other people. I know Rob Van Dam did it against, I want to say, Eddie Guerrero, and he won the IC title. He put the Money in the Bank briefcase up against him.
Did he?
I think so. He did it against somebody.
The only person I remember was Kennedy losing it to Edge.
Right. That was my second point. Has anyone ever lost a briefcase? So, you know, like this isn't the be all.
Damian Sand. Oh, lost the briefcase.
Lost the actual briefcase to another wrestler.
People have lost the cash in. Like that's.
No,
happening.
I'm not worried about the cash in.
Yeah.
But the actual briefcase.
Yeah, like your
crew. Anderson might be the only one.
But so that's an op. Like there's an out. Like. I'm sure they're booking their pay-per-views like they're booking like regular pay-per-views where it's like you want to send people home happy. So Otis winning. I don't agree with it. I don't understand it. I also don't watch the product. So I'm really like the last person that should comment on it. But hindsight is this isn't like he doesn't have to cash in. Like they have they can write a story now where people can chase him for the briefcase and he can elude people and beat people, and then maybe until they decide what they're going to do, because who's the champion on SmackDown? Braun?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, so he's clearly doing something with The Fiend. That's where we are at now.
Yeah. So, and the other thing with the briefcase is that I think you have a year, and I don't even know if they still even stick to that. So this could literally go on forever, and if they turn Otis into a believable top guy, then I'll probably change my tune because it happens. Depends on how someone's booked. You change your tune on some people, and I could easily see my tune changing on Otis down the line if they present him as a more. Actually, now that I'm in my head, I can see him beating like the Fiend for the belt at some point.
Otis?
Yeah.
Beats me. So.
Yeah.
So there's no, you know, it's not set in stone. So we'll see what happens, or someone will watch Raw tonight and tell me what happens, or I'll just read the results tomorrow. But, I mean, and it was weird that it was, like, 2.5 hours.
Yeah. That's the new way they're going now. They're going to start making these pay-per-views shorter. Well, I mean, let's be honest.
How's it going to be shorter than Raw? Kratzo made a great point in that Discord chat last night. This pay-per-view shorter than Monday Night Raw. How is that possible?
Because Raw has to be 3 hours because USA Network and the sponsors want it that way. That's
all right. I know technically how that's possible, but as a pay-per-view, it's never happened ever. I'm not sure it's like an in-your-house. But
how many people are still really renting these things? Do we have numbers of like pay-per-view views, like or whatever you call them, purchases, buys?
Buys. I'm sure. Yeah. I'm sure there are people that still buy them.
That's insane. That's so insane if you think about it.
But there's some people who don't, you know, they don't know how to work the internet. They don't know how the streaming service works. Maybe they don't own a computer, you know? I don't know. Fucked if I know.
Yeah.
You know, maybe people like to still buy the pay-per-view and have all their friends come over and watch it, although that doesn't necessarily apply right now, but I don't know. I really have no idea. Some people are, and I'm going to use the R word, technologically retarded. So they don't know what they're doing. They don't know. Look, I deal with it all day at my job because people don't know how to order through the fucking internet. they call me with the most ridiculous questions ever. So it doesn't really faze me to think that people still buy the fuck. Now, I wouldn't pay fucking whatever, $40, $30 for these pay-per-views. They're lucky they get my $10 a month.
I get you. I get you.
Although, to give them credit, that fucking Undertaker documentary that they started, did you guys catch any of that?
I haven't watched
it. I watched it twice.
It is awesome.
Really, really good.
Awesome. So the premise is, Tony, they pretty much sent a crew with the Undertaker before his match with Roman Reigns.
How long was that?
2017?
That was Orlando, right?
Yeah, you were there. Or you were in the area for WrestleMania.
Yeah, I was around. I wasn't there, yeah.
Wait, what WrestleMania was that?
33?
So that was like 3 years ago? Yeah, yeah. 3 years ago, right?
No, it was 4 years ago. Whatever the WrestleMania 4 years ago was.
32? Yeah, because this year was 36, wasn't it? No, right, so it was 33.
The one in Orlando, they sent a camera crew with the Undertaker. I guess they were under the assumption that Undertaker had told people, like, this is it. I'm done after this WrestleMania match. So they decided to make a documentary about this. Who knows how long it was supposed to go, but the first it's five episodes. The first episode ends after his WrestleMania match with Roman Reigns, and through the documentary he's going, you know, this is not the person I wanted to become. When it's time for me to hang it up, you know, I want someone to tell me that I need to hang it up. I want to go out there and these people spend their money to see The Undertaker. I don't want to become this old, broken-down guy who goes to the ring and the father with his kids says, he's The Undertaker, but he was better 15 years ago. We'll go home and watch some of that. And then the first episode ends with him and Michelle McCool essentially thinking that he's retiring, and then clips for episode two is him watching his match with Roman Reigns and him not being very happy. But the first episode is crazy because it's the first time you really see The Undertaker out of character.
Yeah.
Which is one thing I wanted to ask you guys about. Do you think, because I mean, I've seen The Undertaker, you know, do when he did the Stone Cold, whatever it's called now, the Stone Cold podcast or whatever, you know, whatever the recent thing they're doing on the network with Austin. And it's really cool hearing him tell stories about, you know, up and coming in the business, or like when he first got to WWE, how he was afraid he was going to be in the egg at Survivor Series and all that shit. Do you feel we missed out on a lot of the person behind the character by him waiting this long to start peeling that layer back? Or do you think like this is like the perfect timing for him to do it since he's probably in the twilight of his career?
And he talked about it in the first episode. I think Mark became The Undertaker. And then The Undertaker later in his career, Attitude Era, you saw, you know, American Badass Taker. And that was very reflective of who he was. He was a motorcycle riding badass. You know, the shit with John Cena, Ruthless Aggression, where the Undertaker comes up, says, good match, kid, you know, whatever. Like,
you know what? I honestly, like, I'll put that era of The Undertaker against any other era of The Undertaker ever, because I think that was awesome stuff. I know a lot of people are like, no, he's not the dead man anymore, you know, whatever. But I really enjoyed that portion of his career, to be honest with you. I thought that character was awesome.
I think, like,
yeah, he wasn't the dead man. He was the dead man walking.
Dead man walking.
Like, I think Mark Calloway became The Undertaker, and then through The Undertaker was allowed to show bits and pieces of Mark, but we never got. And I think that was the thing. Like, he was holding on to that mystery, that kayfabe. Everyone knows he's a fucking, you know, regular dude. He rides motorcycles and he likes his Harleys. But up until now, I mean, shit. What, 30 years later? This is the first time you're really getting him to be like, to sit down and do a documentary. And you think of all the documentaries WWE has been doing since the 2000s, when DVDs were like huge. They did one on The Rock, they did one on Austin, they did one on Triple H. There's a Foley one. There's these in-depth, amazing interviews and documentaries, and you know, they either he never wanted to do it or it was just never on the table. So, kind of keeps
like, even that... in the smallest aspects of it, like you see him at the Hall of Fame, but he's not in the crowd at the Hall of Fame. He's just in the back wearing jeans and a regular shirt because he's not going to be seen on camera. So, I mean, he's not. It's just kind of like small stuff like that that just kind of adds up.
Right. I remember when the Triple H King of Kings DVD came out and he was in it. And that was like a big deal for him to have a speaking part in it where he was out of character.
Well, Jericho comments on it best in this episode, whereas like Undertaker never does podcasts, Undertaker never does this, Undertaker never comes that. So when we saw him with the camera crew around him, we thought that maybe this was it for him. And it's also, sidebar, is it weird how much they featured Jim Ross and Jericho on this? Matt knew I was going to say.
I thought the same thing, and they were real quick to throw when Jericho was on the screen. They threw up that former WWF or WWE superstar Chris Jericho, real quick to throw that up there.
Yeah, but I mean that's not uncommon because he's been a former for a while now. But all right, so let me ask you this: you wouldn't have been shocked at all if they put like WWE legend or like?
I mean, no, it doesn't. No, because I think Undertaker is such a respected person. I think before this hits the cut, they put it together. You know, if someone was like, oh, we're not going to put Jim Ross in here because he's an AEW, Undertaker would have been like, the fuck you aren't? Put Jim Ross in here. Like, leave Jericho in. Like, you know, it's all relevant to the story. So I wasn't surprised. It was funny.
That was so funny though when Undertaker and Jericho were talking and Jericho asked how long the ramp is and Undertaker's like it's 80 yards and Jericho's like 80 yards and like he's like 10 years younger than Undertaker.
So look, man, that's a long. You think about it, that's a long walk, run, and then and that's counted as your the time you have from the time you leave the curtain to that's counts. So you got to make it down there fast. It was a really interesting look at the Undertaker and the behind-the-scenes stuff. And, like, before the Roman Reigns match, he got, like, this fucking needle jammed in his knee. And when he got to Orlando, like, noticeably limping around, like, even JBL said, like, this is the worst he's ever seen the Undertaker. So it's just really fascinating stuff how he doesn't want to become that wrestler who's past his prime, but then he sees this match with Roman Reigns. And it kind of hits him right between the eyes, and he's like, I'm not going out like that. So it's a great, great series by WWE. I highly recommend checking it out. And the first episode...
I'm glad he didn't go out like that.
Yeah, the first episode's like an hour long, and it is awesome. I highly, highly recommend it if you're going to watch something on the network. And the WWE always puts out the thing on the FCW was a great little documentary they did. They're always putting out great stuff like that. So... Highly.
Did you notice Kevin's boxers were sticking out of the back of his pants?
Very sexy. Very grungy. Very grungy. Prince Nana should be calling us any minute now. He's our guest tonight. He has a show on the YouTube. Just search Prince Nana on YouTube. The Prince Nana Show. He's got an interview with Avery Mason, a.k.a. BG, from the Power Stars original show from that 50 Cent. Is producing, so
it's your birthday.
Yeah,
come on. Matt.
So that interview drops tomorrow on his YouTube show, the Prince Nana Show, and Prince Nana should be joining us momentarily. We still got a lot to talk about, Tony. There's AEW to talk about. Big AEW this week. I watched Impact. I watched NXT. NWA Power is coming back tomorrow night.
Superpower, isn't it?
Superpower. Yeah. So that's pretty exciting.
We have to talk MLW.
Yes,
we
have
to
talk. I have MLW stuff. I watched MLW too. There's a lot to cover. So we still got a lot to go on the show. If you're on us with the hot mic, thank you. We appreciate you joining us. Keep chatting us up. If you're in the Discord, I haven't had a chance to check that, but keep chatting us up. If you're going to watch Raw, jump in the Discord and talk about Raw. I'm sure Kevin and maybe myself will join you
Matt,
a little later.
I think our guest is on the line, actually. Oh, maybe not. I don't know what happened. I added him to the call, and I don't see him here.
Oh, no. Prince Nana. So,
technology. Na-na-na-na-na.
Well,
I had Prince into the call. I don't know. Maybe he's not here yet.
Usually I get a little thing when he shows up here.
Yeah, the little box came up, and I clicked the thing to add him to the call, and I guess he left. I don't know.
We'll find out. He'll send me a message if he can't get in there. But, yeah, Prince Nana joining us shortly.
Good old technologies.
We're, you know what? We got, you got to roll with the punches during the quarantine, and we got to figure things out. And, you know, as much as we enjoy doing the three-man show, it was time to expand. Here he comes. He's sending me a message now.
He's like, why the fuck you didn't answer?
Called, no answer. Try.
Ah, tell him to call back
again.
Hey, can you click on the thing too? Like when he calls, or do you see that, or is it just me?
I think it's just you because he's calling your account.
Fair enough. But what if he called your account? Would he be able? Like, we got to figure some of this shit out. This is like weird questions that I have that the universe can no longer answer for me. That I must go to higher powers.
The fuck was that?
It's my Ultimate Warrior impression.
Ultimate Warrior. It loads a spaceship with the rocket fuel.
Put it into a nosedive, Hulk Hogan.
Hulk Hogan. You know who does a really good Ultimate Warrior? Christian.
Yes, you're right. If you ever see an abomination
Hogan.
Of DVD. Do you guys own the Destruction of the Ultimate Warrior DVD?
I think I do.
I have a copy of it somewhere. Hey, is that on the network? Can you punch that up on the network, or did they like take that off when the Warrior kind of mended fences with them?
I think they took it off.
Oh, that sucks.
Well, because they made a whole new better one. Not a better one, but a whole different one that actually like shows people saying how much they love him.
Yeah, I think it was called We Love the Warrior.
Yeah, that's right.
Self-destruction? What are you saying?
Tony, can you call the Nana?
You want me to call the Nana?
Yeah, I just sent you the number.
Oh, he's not got video? All right, then I don't have to worry about adding him to video.
No, it's going to go to his Skype, I think.
Oh,
Just call him. We'll see what happens. We'll figure it out. I'm not worried. We're going on the fly here, people. Learning on the fly. A lot of extra work for Tony. I'm sorry, Tony. You hate me.
No, it is what it is. I know people were shitting on me because they are getting aggravated that the size of your guys' windows keeps changing, but that's the fucking software. There's nothing I can really do about it.
I don't know if anyone was shitting on you. They were just pointing out that they don't like it.
All right.
Who's that?
Let's see. I think we're calling Prince Nana right now.
Let's call some people out. Let's name names.
It says he's calling them. I don't hear any ringing. Maybe he's.
There we go.
There he is.
This is Prince Nana on the line. What happened, guys? What happened to the Skype call?
Technology, Prince Nana. Technology is not being very favorable during the quarantine.
I had all of my, you know, all of my assistants. They had me all brushed up, all right? I had the camera set up, all right, because I wanted to come on here and show off, all right? Show off a little bit. My bushy beard, all right, is growing out, all right? I wanted to show it off. But, you know, hey, things happen, all right? When you have an Obama phone, all right, when you guys have an Obama phone and Obama-type cameras, this is what happens.
The assistants, is it like Coming to America, that they clean the royal penis?
They absolutely do, all right? But it's only females only, all right? Females only, because I know in Arkansas, things are a little bit, you know, they're different there, which is a good thing too, all right? There's all-inclusiveness.
Well, I'm just happy to hear that you're getting treated like a true prince.
Absolutely. It's good to be on the show. You know, it's the next time, make sure you have a good connection, because I want to see your face, and I want to see the faces of all of those people that be following your show. I heard you have about a good 10 followers a week on your show.
With you on it, we might be up to 20.
Oh, that's a blessing. That is a true blessing, my friend.
And you will be the first person that's ever said they wanted to see our faces, because nobody wants to see what we look like.
Really? Yeah. Oh, my God. Now I'm very much more intrigued. All right, I'm intrigued to find out, all right, what's going on with you guys. All right? There's something going on. You guys, I'm going to get down to the bottom of it.
Well, the quarantine is not too... I look like a Wookiee. I got a very gross beard. My hair is all over the place. I'm a little portly. Portly, I might say. I'm a little fat guy, so...
They didn't open the barber shops over there by you yet? the beauty salons and the barber shops.
I am the complete opposite of beauty, so no.
Oh, okay, okay. So that doesn't apply to you. I get it, my friend.
Look, we can't all be princes, okay? I don't get the royal treatment. I get like...
Hey, you know what? You're the prime minister, all right? You look like the prime minister. Let's say it like that, all right? Boris, the guy that's there, you remind me of him. Let's just say it like that.
No, everybody fucking hates that guy.
Hey, you said you're not like a prince. So if you can't be a prince, you have to be the prime minister. And the prime minister is the Boris guy. That's what you look like.
Can I be the jester?
The gesture, huh? They don't have gestures for many, many years, all right? But if you want to be a gesture, we can make that for you. We can make you into a gesture. It's not a problem, all right? But you're going to have to clip your co-host's nails. Not my nails, but his nails, all right? Because he's going to be hanging out and chilling out with... What's your name, the guy that's giggling in the background? What's your name?
Which one? There's two of them. There's Tony and Kevin. I ain't clipping Tony's toenails.
There's two people giggling in the background. What are they doing?
I'm sorry. I'm just mesmerized by the awesomeness that is Prince Nana.
I only hear one guy talking, and then the two other guys are giggling. All right, maybe they should have the gesture jobs, huh? So tell me your names. One guy, what's your name?
This is Tony, Prince Nana. A pleasure to speak to royalty on a Monday evening.
Tony, how are you doing? All right, Tony.
I'm doing as well as anybody can be.
And what's the other guy's name that's giggling?
Hello, Prince. This is Kevin.
Kevin, why do you sound like you're under a blanket?
Because I'm terrified right now.
Okay, I see. All right, don't worry. All right, don't worry. I'm on the phone. I'm not in your face. All right, I know it's like, you know, some black people, we can be intimidating sometimes. All right, but I'm on the phone right now. No, I'm just kidding, my friend.
Hey, Prince, it's 2020. I'm not putting anything past anybody.
Hey, I don't put anything past anybody either. You guys can be aliens, for all I know. You know the way things are going. I don't know.
There have been sightings of aliens lately. So.
My God.
What else will 2020 bring us?
Our government's been lying to us all this time. First the corona.
That's why I've been drinking more Henny. I've been drinking a lot more Henny because they keep saying that there's something falling from the sky. So before that, I'm trying to just educate all of the wrestling fans that, you know, that they can become wrestlers before that happens.
So Prince, if there was to be an alien invasion, would you share your Henny with the extraterrestrials?
I probably would, because they would be then a little bit sedated, all right? They would be a little sedated. This way, you know, afterward, I can just, like, maybe kind of, like, slid out of there and try to head over to Antarctica, where I'd rather die there than in a space shuttle, all right? I'd rather die in Antarctica.
Wow, I get up to go to the bathroom, and I come back, and you guys are talking about aliens. Is this a preview of what... is possibly on the table
did
for
this guy just tell me he went to go to the bathroom? Oh my God, is this what the heck is this thing that I'm on over here? How far is the bathroom can be is in you guys are recording in the bathroom?
No,
how
we're
sickening
not.
Is this?
The bathroom's right next to
come
me.
On, come on, come on, get to the questions. This is so disgusting.
I am a lower class human being. My bathroom's in the same room as my studio. Like, we all can't be princes.
Okay, like I said, you are going to be Boris, whatever his name is, the prime minister.
I am the prime minister. All right? So all this crazy alien talk, is this a preview of what can be found in the book that you are working on right now that you have a GoFundMe going up about? Embassy Forever,
yes.
A pro wrestling memoir. Is this just a teaser of some of the stories that Prince Nana has acquired during his 20-plus years in the wrestling business?
Yes, it's a little bit of just a little bit of that. All right, there's definitely no alien sightings, but there's definitely some J train sightings. All right, and that is pretty scary. All right, Julius Smokes. All right, the sightings that I'm going to be talking about him in my book are very, very scary, my friend. All right, but outside of that, the book is going to be definitely indulging. People are going to really like dig in to what happened behind the scenes over the years from when I started in the WWE, you know, doing some of the dark matches and the enhancement matches to ROH to right now to the height of AEW Impact, everything. We're going to talk about it all right? And I might even talk about you guys now, since you guys, you know, the book isn't out, so now I can talk about you guys. You know, you all became my professional nail clippers in the, you know, West Wing of the Ghanaian castle over there in Accra.
All right, I'll do the hands. Tony can do the feet, because he's got a thing for feet.
I got no problem.
Oh, wow. There you go. That's what I'm talking about.
Kevin can rub your shoulders for you.
No, I'm good. He can do that for you, but not for me, all right? I'm all right, my friend, all right? The shoulders, they're fine right now, all right?
Do you need some, do you need what they call the manscaping? Because Kevin be happy to give you a trim.
Manscaping?
Yes.
No. I don't know what is that. Is that something like when you're doing the side of a house or something?
No, yes. That's where you trim your crotchetal area.
Oh no, my friend. No. You guys can save that for when I get off the phone. All right. When I get off the line, thank God I didn't go on Skype with you guys. All right. If I went on Skype, forget it. I would have thrown up all of the peanut butter soup I ate this afternoon for lunch, all right? It's disgusting, you guys, all right? Don't do that.
You and me both. I'm actually throwing up right now just with the thought of it.
What are you throwing up? A peanut butter and jelly sandwich?
Ah, always. Always, man. Crunchy peanut butter. It's actually a hard food to throw up because, you know,
did every single one of you guys, I know one of you guys, I think one of you just now, thank you just now. So I think it was one guy that sent over the GoFundMe. Thank you so much. Make sure you guys all are putting into the GoFundMe. All right. All right. You can find it on my Twitter page. You can find it on my Instagram. All right. And GoFundMe, all right, I know a lot of people go on to that thing and you know, a lot of people are using it for, you know, financial situations, like they lost their parent or they lost this and that, and, you know. That's not what I'm using it for, all right? I'm using it because I also have other pages, all right, where people have subscriptions. But sometimes people just want to make a one-time donation, all right? So GoFundMe is the best place for them to make a one-time donation. I don't want to be giving out my Cash App. All right? You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. And we definitely want to support that. But just to give the people that might want to chip in for this GoFundMe, what could they expect in terms of the main goal of this book? What is the main objective you want to get across to the people that would be interested in reading it?
You know, the history of Prince Nana period. All right, of Prince Nana and the Embassy. You know, it's basically a story that needs to be told. And I've never been, I've been in the business for 26 years, all right? And I've never been the one to boast and brag, all right? I'm the person who gets on the line, gets in front of the camera, and I do what I do best, all right? I don't know if that's entertaining. I don't know if that's acting. I don't know if that's I don't know what it is, but when I get on the line or when I get on in front of the camera or when I go in front of the crowd, you know, it's time to put my all into it. This is exactly what I'm going to do with the book also. It's the journeys, all right? You know, it's the journeys. It's the tears, all right? It's the blood, sweat, and tears. It's the story of someone who never fully made it to the WWE. If you understand what I'm trying to say. You know, a lot of the times when people are coming out with a book, you know, they're coming out with a book because they made it to, you know, New Japan. They're coming out with a book because they made it to WWE, to Impact. You know, I am just an independent superstar for almost 26 years. I also was, you know, one of the founding wrestlers and performers with Ring of Honor in the beginning, you know, in the beginning phases of that company. And I stuck with that company for many, many, many years. And and helped build it all the way up into the whole Cody Rhodes era when he was there until the time he left. I was a part of the growth of that company, and I'm proud of where they are now. You know, so I want to talk about that and talk about, you know, also the, you know, racial inequality in professional wrestling also. You know, when I was first coming into the business, I was very naive. You know, I really didn't think about, you know, black and white and this and that. You know, I had a pretty, you know, rounded, you know, childhood where I was, you know, mixed with a whole bunch of different people, black, white, Chinese. You know, I went to a sleepaway camp upstate New York, Camp Dudley, where there was all types of people, you know, white, black, Chinese. You know, we were all coming from great families and backgrounds, coming in the summertime to, you know, just, you know, whatever. So it wasn't like, you know, what I was expecting years later. All right, and I'm talking years later, after I did my whole WWE, you know, appearances and stuff, where you really start to get on the road and you start to see people often and they see you, you know, you see people going up the ladder, you see people coming down the ladder, and there's just a lot of, disappointment that goes with that. But along with the disappointment, there's a lot of triumph, and I just want to, you know, talk to the common man or the common person who is interested in how this industry works for someone like me and for someone like them.
All right. So you mentioned, I was going to ask a different question, but you kind of triggered my brain cells here in terms of that whole racial inequality in professional wrestling. I could just kind of tell a little bit by what you just said that you feel, and again, if I'm assuming I'm putting words in your mouth, please correct me. I'm assuming that you feel that there is some sort of racial inequality in professional wrestling, and I think it's more prevalent than people want to realize. Is that something that you've been trying to be made known over the years, or is that something that you're just going to wait for this book to hit and you're going to drop everything right then and there? Because I'm not going to lie to you, I feel like there is something to that. Just when you put in the amount, I'm rambling, the amount of like world champions that there's been in this business, the number is staggering to how many people of African-American descent have been world champions compared to whites. And it's too blatant of a fact to ignore. Is that something that you've felt for a while, or are you going to just drop this all in the book?
You know, a lot of people know that I try not to be too political in professional wrestling. You know what I mean? Because professional wrestling is supposed to be fun, all right? It really is. It's something like a circus, all right? But one thing that we all have to understand also is that professional wrestling and the circus is a business, okay? And the circus went out of business, okay? And the wrestling business can go out of business too if people don't play their cards the right way. You know, but with what you're saying, you know, I've never really wanted to be the political person because there's so many great, great African American, you know, African superstars, you know, right now. And I'm not talking about in WWE and stuff like that. We know about Kofi, we know about Lashley and all these guys. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about the guys on the lower levels. You know, we have the, you know, Jay Lethal's and the Movers and this and that and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
And these guys and you know, ACH and so on and so on, you know. And these guys are, and Kenny King, these guys are constantly, you know, always, you know, Shane Taylor, always, you know, promoting the fact for you know, movement in the industry for there to be a change in the way that, you know, things are run. And I'm with everybody on that. You know what I mean? I'm with everybody on that. And I really feel, you know, and this is just me, you know, but I really feel it's going to be hard to change that type of outlook unless one of the two things happen. Okay, and that is obviously the, you know, the union thing,
All right, that everyone is talking about, oh, we should start a union and this and that. I think once the unions is implemented, there's going to be a little bit more equality for everyone. And I'm not talking about black, because in the wrestling business, there's white people who that are very talented not getting signed to deals and that are suffering right now, you know. And at one point, they did a lot for the industry and they deserve something back for that, you know. So if there was a union, I think that might be a change in the whole inequality thing, because there'll be more of an even playing field for people, you know. But then outside of that, the other thing that would need to happen, guys, you know, and I'm just going to be very blatant with you, it is, you know, there needs to be a, you know, African-American owner that is, you know, or an owner of color that is in, you know, business to go and compete with Vince McMahon. But one thing that I know about a company that's, you know, I don't know this for a fact, but, you know, I just know this just from, you know, just dealing with so many people, that a company that is probably going to be, you know, spearheaded by an African-American would be more open to being the wrestling company that, you know, everybody is going to end up enjoying. I really do see that. But right, until that day happens, you know, we just all got to wait and watch and, you know, see what's going on. I mean, we have AEW out there that's competing with Vince, you know, but I really feel like, not only do, you know, does the African American need to be represented, you know, on camera, they need to be represented in the executive boardrooms as well. So if that's not happening, it's going to be very hard to entice everybody to get involved. You know, there's only going to be one type of, you know, people that are going to be interested in this, if this is, you know, the only thing that you know how to push. If you don't know how to change it up a little bit to bring other eyeballs into it, then, you know, then, hey, this is your business, do it the way you want to do it, and that's it. Until that day where there's, you know, a new, you know, person, they don't have to be black, they don't have to be white, just someone who is more open to not being like the way it was for the last 70 years, I think that's when the wrestling business is really going to be thriving.
And we're on the line with Prince Nana at Prince King Nana on at Prince King Nana on.
I scared the hell out of you guys just now. All right, take it easy. All right, take it easy. I know I'm sounding like, you know, some preacher on the phone here, all right? But you're asking me some serious questions. I'm going to give you some serious answers.
I was trying to plug your shit, Prince Nana.
I loved everything about what you just said in that answer. That answer was it was everything that I think people needed to hear. So I'll let Matt continue with the plugs you. Because, hey, listen, we're all in this to promote. So I'll let Matt continue with the plugs, and then we'll get back to maybe having some fun here. Matt, go ahead with the plugs.
Thank you, my friend.
No, I thought that was an excellent question and an excellent answer. I love the conversation, but I want to make sure people know, if they are enjoying this interview, they're enjoying the Prince Nana, they can't find him. It's at Prince King Nana on Twitter and Instagram. And he's got the Prince Nana Show on YouTube. He's got a brand new episode, drops tomorrow, with Avery Mason, a.k.a. Big G, from Power on Stars. It's an original series that Curtis, I forget 50 Cent's last name, but it's 50 Cent produced.
Curtis Jackson.
But he's going to be on the Prince Nana Show tomorrow. That episode drops tomorrow, excuse me, on YouTube. He's also recently talked to Angel from the Baldies, for all my ECW fans out there. Definitely an interview worth checking out, and Nana is spreading the word. So again, at Prince King Nana, you mentioned a powerful black leader in the wrestling industry. Is there someone that you have in mind, or without giving too much away?
I never want to be the
starter of anything. I don't, let me tell you something. I don't have anything. All right. I just have what I have for me. If I had an extra $2 million to play around with, forget it. I would have been already, you know, competing with Vince. Okay. But that's just not the case. Okay. But as far as who I have in mind, you know, obviously I would want to be involved. Okay, and without saying that I want to, you know, I would do it and this and that, but there's quite a few people that I would, you know, definitely probably, you know, say could spearhead that, and one of them is Mark Henry. You know, Mark Henry is one of those guys. You know, without me saying any more, you know, because I don't know exactly what, you know, how he feels or so on and so forth or whatever. And don't get me wrong, if WWE was calling me right now for a contract, I would probably negotiate one. I would, you know, I would probably want to listen to what they have to say also, you know. But once I, you know, once I actually get there, then they would know me and who I actually am after they see me work. So it's really hard, you know, right now, they, you know, I think like... WWE and TNA and Impact and all these people, they go by what they've heard. You got to understand, I've been around for like 26 years. You know, they go by what they heard. You understand what I'm saying? But like, if anyone really knows me, they know I'm a shrewd businessman. I'm there, and I try to make sure I help people. That's the main thing about me.
So we see it's seeing a trend nowadays where past professional wrestlers or past people that have been on TV in front of the camera have now been transitioning into roles as executives. How, and of course, you know, you look at the Bucks and Cody and AEW, obviously Triple H and WWE on a larger scale, Delirious and, you know, Marty and Ring of Honor and stuff like this and that. What does it take for a professional wrestler to actually transition and become a successful executive behind the scenes?
Oh, I mean, again, like, and I've got to be honest, like, I can't sit here and lie, you know. There's a lot of ass kissing going on. All right. This is complete, you know, there's a lot of ass kissing going on. And I'm not saying that certain guys that have those positions are ass kissing. All right. But what I'm saying is, you know, there's a lot of friendships and stuff like that. And I think, you know, it's based on what you have given to the business, what you have, you know, basically sacrificed. And I noticed that a lot of guys that, you know, probably don't have it like they used to, you know, they used to do maybe a lot of crazy things in the ring, or maybe there was just a lot going on at one point with them. You know, normally those are the ones that end up getting the opportunity to work as a producer and so on and so forth. But, you know, if you're really looking to get into an executive type of role, one of the things that you need these days, you know, is you need to have some sort of a degree. All right. You need to have some sort of like a bachelor's degree, let's say, or even an associate's degree inside of that field. You know, Prince Nana, I went to college. I went to the College of Staten Island in Staten Island. I have my associate's degree. I also have my communications degree also. You know, so you would have to kind of, you don't necessarily need to have that now, okay, because I don't, you know, there's some executives that don't have it. So it's not really a concrete answer to that, but I think a lot of the times when you see someone who is an executive or a producer, it's because they, you know, really sacrifice themselves in the business, and it's a way of saying thank you, because they have some knowledge to pass on to, you know, a younger talent that might be asked to do something similar to what they have done. So yes, when someone is really good at what they do, you know, they should be given that role as a producer or an executive or something like that. But again, like I said, for African Americans, that role, all right, is very few and far between.
you know, I was lucky enough to, and Ring of Honor is a great company. I was lucky enough to have a producer position there for maybe about a year and a half. All right. And until I, you know, drifted ways with Ring of Honor, but you know, it was a good experience and it was something that I was able to kind of use on my resume and so on and so forth, if you get what I'm saying.
Absolutely. And you talk about people being good at what they do. You would have to throw your hat into that ring when we talk about wrestling managers and leaders of stables. The Embassy and Ring of Honor, highly successful for many years, from 2004 to up until 2006. The Embassy was an ever-growing presence in Ring of Honor. Many different variations of the Embassy, but nonetheless, the Embassy was there. And, you know, John Walters, Jimmy Rave, Alex Shelley, Abyss, going way back. You know, you reincarnated the Embassy with Bison Smith and Ernie Osiris. And the name, I mean...
Mia Yim.
Yeah, Claudio, Joey Ryan, Eric Stevens, the Necro Butcher... Dominic Dijak, Tommaso Ciampa. I mean, it's Moose. A who's who.
I mean,
of
Moose was
superstars.
Like in a different edition, but yeah, it's a lot of people, man.
Moose and Stokely, come on. What's your favorite version of the Embassy?
Wow, my favorite. Of all time is definitely Jimmy Rave's time when he was just becoming, you know, the crown jewel of the Embassy. That was some of the greatest times in the Embassy. I'm telling you, my friend. I'm telling you, man. We were having stakes. We were seeing all great, beautiful women, all right? We were doing, like, flying from this town to that town. And I'm not... just saying this as a storyline. I'm talking real life, my friend. All right. There's so many stories that, you know, that I have with Jimmy. And I know, like, a lot of people are like wondering, hey, what's going on with Jimmy and this and that? You know, hey, life is going on. This is life. You know, I can never put another man down for what life throws at them. And that goes for me, too. You know, hey, I might be over here all jolly and stuff like that, but after I get off the phone, I have to go back to regular life. And that's the thing that people have to understand. You know, I really treasure those moments. I really treasure those moments that I had with Jimmy, you know, and I also really, really enjoyed my time with Tommaso. I really did. I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. I really, really did. Because it was a time where, you know, I almost thought that, hey, you know, is this it? And I was able to still do it and really, you know, pair with somebody that, you know, worked for me and I worked for them. You know what I mean? So, you know, definitely it was the Jimmy Rave time and definitely the Tommaso Ciampa time. I really, really enjoyed those two moments in the Embassy, but there was many, many other times, many other, you know, Xavier, then you had, you know, the Necro Butcher time, you know, it was so many different moments that we had that I would really, really treasure and so on and so forth. Bison Smith, rest in peace.
And there's going to be tons of Embassy stories in the Embassy Forever Pro Wrestling Memoir, which if you want to donate to Nana's GoFundMe, it's GoFundMe.com, and then just throw in Embassy Forever. It's the first thing that pops up. I did it this afternoon.
That's right.
And I mean, like he said, 26 years in pro wrestling, he's got thousands of stories, and he's just going to give you
literally
a taste.
Thousands.
You're just going to get a taste in this book. But he needs a little help getting that book started. So if you have a couple shekels, throw him his way.
My boys.
All right, real quick before we get out of here, you mentioned your favorite times of the Embassy. Let me ask you this: has there ever been someone that was just so like out of your realm of possibility to be a part of the Embassy that ended up just working so well?
You know, let me think real quick. I'm thinking real quick. I would say that would probably end up
It would probably end up having to be it was Necro. You know, at the time, you know, it's crazy. I know. At the time, you know, we just needed something to transition into, because Tommaso came right after the whole thing with Necro. But we needed like a transitional type of period. And I think that, you know, oh, actually it wasn't. I know who it was. It wasn't Necro. It was Joey Ryan. Joey Ryan, when they first put me with that guy, I was like, you know, when I first, you know, got the offer to work with him, I was like, what the hell is this? All right. This guy, he has his whole package is hanging out of his boxers. What is going on here? All right. I said, what is this? But, you know, we went out there once or twice, you know, and I think he had somewhat of a name back a little bit. But when I went out there with him and I was doing my little salsa dance, when, you know, as he was coming out, it just went together well. And you know, it just was perfect. And I think, you know, both of us gained, you know, some kind of popularity off of that at that time. But yeah, it was Joey Ryan. I almost forgot about him. Yes, it was Joey Ryan. He was the one. He was a perfect fit for the embassy at the time of when he came in as the hired gun.
Did Joey rocking that hitter? He was a big ding dong.
But I don't know if I would hire him now, because the ding dong is more popular than him. So I don't know. I like Joey Ryan, not the ding dong. You know what
well,
I mean?
Well, now here's the thing. Could you hire just the ding dong?
No, you say, I don't know. I never really inquired, and I wouldn't want to inquire about that, all right? Because, it's very powerful, you know, and I don't want any problems. I already have my own powerful one, all right? All right, so that's it. And, you know, I'm Mandingo, so it's even more powerful. It will throw you across the sea, all right? It will throw you across the sea, all right? So I don't get into that business in inquiring about booking the penis and all that, but that's what you guys can do that. If you want to interview his penis, I can get his booker on the phone for you. All right. So
we might have to interview Mandingo these too.
No. That one you can't do that. That's only if you have girlfriends and they can be the interviewers for the day, we can do it. All right. That's how you guys go, bring your girlfriends. They will cover for you the next time. And then we do that interview with the Mandingo dick.
Now,
excuse
please.
My language.
No. It's okay.
You leave the Mandingo home, please. I don't need you. Fuck that shit up. It'll be like,
you guys are disgusting, my friends. Wow.
It'll be like throwing a hot dog down the Lincoln Tunnel after you get through with it.
You know, I tried to be nice, you know, with all of my, you know, with all of my, like my transitional, you know, whenever I'm trying to, you know, but I won't ever like disrespect people and scare them like the way that, you know, Joey Ryan does. All right. I'm very respectful with it. All right.
Look, a man in power needs to be respectful of the people he has below him, so you respect Joey's
I'm
power.
You, it would throw somebody over the fucking. It would throw them over the ocean. All right, so don't go there.
Which ocean?
The Indian.
Holy shit!
All right.
Did you know when Joey was in the embassy, how powerful it was going to be? Was it like a Star Wars thing? Did you see the dark side? Did you sense that Joey's package was dangerous?
I sensed that there was a danger, but that's why I just kept at bay. If you look at some of the videos, I would stay at bay doing my little dance, and then he would go on. But you see, I think after he left the embassy, all right, he got a little bit, I don't know what happened. I think it went to his head, and then he just, boom. It just started coming out, and then he went to Japan and flipped someone on their head inside the ring. But if it came to me doing that,
over the Indian Ocean they would go. So I tried to just keep it in, keep it calm, and I don't, you know, get into the same thing that Joey Ryan gets into. I love him. He's a great member of the embassy, all right? But no, I cannot inquire about booking his penis, all right, guys? I'm sorry.
Prince Nana, we love you. If you want to follow Prince Nana,
I love you guys.
At Prince King Nana on Twitter, on Instagram. You search Prince Nana on the Facebook. Maybe he'll let you be your friend. He's got a show on YouTube, The Prince Nana Show. New episode drops
That's
tomorrow
right.
with Avery Mason, a.k.a. BG from Power, the 50 Cent vehicle on the Stars Network. And he's just doing great things. He's got a book about the embassy coming out, hopefully in December. GoFundMe.com. Just search Embassy Forever. Anything you can give to Prince Nana, he'd appreciate it. $1, $2, $10, $5, $100, whatever you can afford. Or $1,000. And if you give him $1,000, he'll dick flip you over the Indian Ocean.
Over the Indian Ocean you go, my friends. All right. Be well. All right. Wash your hands. And you know what I'm going to tell all of you guys to do. All right. And that's brush your stinking mouths. All right.
Amazing.
Prince
this
Nana.
This is awesome.
It's been a pleasure.
Nana.
He hung up on us. He's gone.
He hung up. He's out.
He gone.
Dude, he's a prince.
Good.
No, he's a prince. He's got stuff to do.
Fuck, man. That was awesome. I think he's still there.
No, he said he left.
Yeah, he's gone.
Guys, can I say something?
You can.
No.
And this might be like a Bruce Pritchard type gimmick that I'm stealing here. Da-ding. But I'm throwing it out there again. Top five.
That was a lot of fun. A lot of dick talk. Enjoyable dick talk, I must say.
Yeah, we covered the serious stuff, too.
No, top I understand.
Five. Well, while we were talking with Prince Nana, Becky Preggers, she...
Hey, you want to put spoilers before this?
What? That's fucking 45 minutes in the Raw. If you're not watching it by now, tough shit, stupid.
Real wow. You just ruined Kevin's Tuesday.
No, wait, Kevin's...
We already talked about this.
Kevin...
We didn't know it was going to happen for reals.
I knew. I told you it was a spoiler.
Tony, I thought you weren't corporate anymore.
He's got people on the inside. Don't be fucking stupid.
Hey, don't get your hands out of my pocket.
But I want to play pocket pool with you.
Easy.
All this dick talk, you know?
Becky is Preggers. They opened the briefcase that Asuka pulled down, and the title was in it, so it is hers now.
So she's dumb. She had this fucking suitcase for 24 hours. She didn't fucking open the thing up?
Yeah, she literally... Yes, it was in there the whole time. Shut up!
What?
You think the belt was in there for... It was a...
So somebody got to steal the briefcase from Asuka since she won it last night and stick the belt in there? Like, is Becky creeping on Asuka now, like, stealing her shit? Like, what the shit is that? That's some bad story.
I think we need a new segment on the show. Because, like, last week, I went off on Tony, and Matt just told him to shut up, stupid. I feel like every week, like, we have to take turns totally ripping Tony.
But that's not fair. Like, she won the briefcase. Look, if I want a briefcase that had a contract in it, hell yeah, I want to open it up. I want to see the contract. I want to make sure it's legit.
And Matt, Tony, I think you're on to something there, because at some point you're going to have to sign that contract, aren't you? Or no?
Of course. I don't know, unless it's just open and then somebody could just steal it out of the briefcase. That's what they need to do. They need to do a briefcase stealing thing where somebody else cashes it in. Like,
I saw
somebody
that, Matt.
Somebody steals it off a bench in the locker room and just runs out. Here.
Maybe she
that's
could.
A great
maybe.
Other guy runs out to try to get it. That'd be awesome shit, dude.
I'm gonna steal.
That's a great question. Do they have to sign the contract? Like right when they get it, shouldn't they have to sign it? Like I have to, because it's still a contract, right?
Yeah. Like how can it be legally binding if you don't put your name to it?
That's
yeah,
a great question.
You can cash it in anytime you want, but you.
And that's the thing. Like if you
it.
Cash it in and you win, and it wasn't signed, that's a great way for the heel to get out of it and go, you know, he never signed the contract. He didn't have any right to enforce this against me.
Wow, did we just book something?
Probably.
Fuck yeah, we did.
Be on TV in 3 weeks. Don't worry about it. We are rolling along. We still have a lot to cover, but we want to thank those that support us over on our Patreon, patreon.com/wizardspodcast. For as little as $1 a month, you can support the show. $1 gets you a mention on the show. It gets you a 10% off code to our Pro Wrestling Tee store. $3 gets you a watch along and everything on the $1 pledge, and so forth and so on. Just check those out at patreon.com/wizardspodcast. The more you pledge, the more you get, and we are so grateful for those that support us, and we want to thank them now. Kathy Hummer, the Queen of the Shining Wizards. Manny Carrazzo, the King of the Shining Wizards. The people that I do my AEW podcast with, who are more than just Patreon producers. They are friends, and they definitely help keep the Shining Wizards machine running. Danny Rusinello, Anthony Rusinello, Ryan Arthur over at elementary.com. That's ALEMENTARY.com. Great local brewery here in New Jersey. They serve in New York, Pennsylvania, and New Jersey. So check out the website. And then Kate Hensler at ondeckic.com. If you're ever in the sports arena and you need an agent, Kate is the person to go to, and she can set that up for you. Sean Toe, Sean Callejo, Brett Simonello.
What do you hear? What do you say?
Matt Garifo, no relationship to the KJG. Mr. Matt Mellinger, Christine Friesendorf, Mark Parloni, who still doesn't understand that I don't want to be tagged in everything he puts on Twitter.
Hey, did he have a birthday like a month ago?
Oh, shit, yes. Happy belated birthday to Mark. Kenny Hawson.
And Kathy Hummer, I believe, has a birthday this week. So happy birthday, Kathy Hummer.
And happy birthday, Ryan Arthur. He has a birthday this
week,
too.
Happy birthday to all of our Patreon producers.
Yeah, I hope you get...
Listen, it's not our fault they have all the birthday in the same week. Let's give them all their moment.
Yeah, let's put a bag of dog shit on their front step. Jay Kopp, the Big Kopp of Pump from the Turnbuckle Throwbacks, the only one from that show that supports us. Still waiting to see what my Patreon money for the Turnbuckle Throwbacks gets me. Nothing but a receipt at the end of the month.
Do you think they say the same thing about us?
I fucking support them!
No, that's what I'm saying, but you're the only...
I don't get shit for it, though. They don't mention me.
How many Turnbuckle Throwback shirts I have?
How many did you pay for? How many did you pay for?
What?
Yeah, you paid for every one of those shirts, didn't you?
Yeah, I did.
Phil and Choppy, put your fat fucking hot dog fingers in your pockets and support us.
But come on, in fairness, Phil's bought his fair share of shirts from us over the years. He's got a custom Hulkamania shirt with Phil Dog on the back.
Oh, you had to go to the fucking tent store to get that made, huh?
Oh, fuck. Come on. Really? Really? Oh, let me guess. He couldn't put it on because he couldn't get his sausage fingers in the sleeves? Is that what we're doing?
I mean, we could. You know how expensive it is to get a Shining Wizards Moo Moo made? It's a lot of money.
Yeah, and fucking...
Hey, Matt, it's a lot of moolah.
Oh, fucking boo. I really need to put the bell back over here. It's all the way over in the corner.
Oh, God forbid. You had to go for the bell. Thomas Copps, the Mott Spuck.
Spock, not Spuck. What the fuck is a Spuck?
Rockstar Spuck?
Michael Hammond. Oh, shit.
What?
I fucking don't have the plug for David Henry Bauer the third.
That's okay, because I got you covered. Henry Bauer the third, his buddy, who didn't give me his fucking name, but I still got the information here. His pal's doing some experimental music. David wants us to go check it out. It's harvestmanrecords.bandcamp.com. It's Harvestman Records. I was listening to it. Some really weird out there shit, but it's some shit that you'll probably enjoy. I did wind up enjoying it, but it's some out there stuff. But support David and his buddy and check that out. And of course, want me to finish it off? Mr. William Mercier Jr.
I gotta take a piss really bad. I'm sorry.
Lives are gonna be in William Mercier's hands. You know what I mean?
I like that, Kev. That was fucking awesome.
I have the stats for the IC tournament in front of me.
Oh, cool, because I actually have the graphic too, and I've had it pulled up. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to cover us up real quick if we're going to talk about...
Please do. I'm having a really bad skin day.
No, dude, you're fine. You're far away enough and you're blurry enough. You look like a fucking $1 million.
It's how the ladies like me.
So I just stretched it out across the screen. This is the standings right now in the greatest Intercontinental Championship of all time.
I think. Am I supposed to be able to see this or not?
No, probably not. No, you can Skype. This is for the peeps. Over at the hot mic. I mean, if you want to pull it up, I think I sent it in the email if you want to open yours up. But
I looked at it today.
That's, well, I mean, you have the stats all there in front of you anyway. And, folks, I don't know what people are thinking when they're voting some of these folks, but goddamn, we had a lot of things go down that I was very surprised about. How about you, K-Dog?
Well, here's the thing with this, and Matt touched on this too, is that you would think that people would know the criteria, at least, like, we're not saying that everything has to be set in stone, but, like, the criteria for this, it says it right there. It's the greatest intercontinental champion of all time. And, of course, people are going to go with their feelings and who they like better as a wrestler overall and whose moment may have been better, but the run was only, like, a month or something like that. So I get that. I'm not blind to that. Because we and Matt did this, like, 98%, I'll say 99% worth of actual statistical data, and maybe, like, 1% or 2% of, like, each one of ours, like, actual feelings and what may have meant more. But, man, Tony, I'm with you. Some of these, I mean, for the most part, it was chalk, but some of this is oof. What are you thinking, people?
I tell you what, just to expand on your point a little bit, there were not really, in the grand scheme of things, 64 great intercontinental champions. There really weren't. So a lot of the folks that are on there, maybe in the 14, 15, or 16 seeds, we probably really had to squeeze a few boogers out of the fucking nasal drip to get these guys in there to make some reasoning why they got these certain seeds. Because in fairness, you may be looking at a handful of them that were like really all-time greats. And then the rest of them, man, maybe it was a stepping stone. Maybe it was a great moment that they had where they won the title or lost the title. Maybe it was one great match. But for whatever reason, they're in there. And Matt painstakingly went through this, and we seeded these fuckers like with a fine-tooth comb. We went over everything with them. And yes, emotion did come into it. However, this is pretty fucking tight. This is pretty fucking tight.
It really, really is. And Tony, you brought up a great point that I think we realized because we actually had to look at the numbers. But I don't think people realize, like, 64 out of – we only chopped, like, what, 20 guys off the list? So that's like –
yeah.
So, like, that's, like, not – of course there's going to be – and 65 – you're right. There's a lot of people that people don't realize because there were only 84 champions in the history that the 64th guy is not going to be that good. He's going to be – like, it's not – there weren't 84 great Intercontinental champions. There probably weren't even 30 if you really want to go
I think you say in 64 were that good. I would say that maybe the top 44, and that would probably even be stretching it there a little bit too. And a lot of these guys went on to bigger and better things where they may not have even necessarily been known for their IC run. Like, there's a lot of guys on the list where people were scratching their heads going, this person was the IC champ? And it's like, well, yeah, but it didn't really mean much to a lot of these guys' runs. You look at a Shawn Michaels. Like, Shawn Michaels went on to be world champion so many times, right? However, he did have really successful runs when he was the IC champ. Same thing with a guy like Bret Hart, you know? But then there's other guys on the list where, like, you take a Ricky Steamboat. Ricky Steamboat is known for his great match, one of the greatest of all time in WrestleMania history. And then after that, I think I remember him defending the title against Hercules, and it ended in a schmoz because Savage got involved, and then he lost in the Honky Tonk Man on a random, like, Superstars episode.
Yeah, and just to piggyback on that, I know Matt's itching to talk, so just because it's on this, it's second on the list, the Kofi Kingston British Bulldog matchup. British Bulldog won that title on a Saturday Night's Main Event. Oh no, I'm sorry, he won it at SummerSlam '92, and then and then lost it at a Saturday Night's Main Event against Shawn Michaels before the Survivor Series. And Kofi Kingston has been a champ, like, pick a number, 5, 6, whatever, how many times. And the British Bulldog ended up beating Kofi Kingston in the first round because he's the British Bulldog. And he's just a more iconic figure, I guess you want to say. But is he at this point in 2020? And I love the Bulldog.
I think Tony. I think a lot of people played the nostalgia card too. And it was what said performer meant what to them at the time. But there were some outright injustices. Booker T beating Shelton Benjamin is a fucking disgrace.
That's a farce, dude.
And I don't know much about Shelton Benjamin because I was not watching wrestling at the time, but he seemed like he had very important Intercontinental Championship runs that meant something. I got into an argument on Twitter with someone that said Kurt Angle shouldn't be a 16 seed. And I said it in my video today. He had the title for fucking 30 days. When you think Intercontinental Champions, Kurt Angle is the 50th person you think of. because his
I
run.
I think of him as an IC champ, dude.
No, no one does. It's, but you know, that's the fun of the tournaments. But at the same time, it's like you have to gauge your audience. You know, like Pedro Morales, Ric Flair is the perfect example because Pedro is arguably one of the greatest Intercontinental Champions of all time. If you look at his reigns and the amount of days that he held the title, but he's not Ric Flair. And I think that's where you lose wrestling fans because they see Ric Flair and they see him with the Intercontinental Championship. And yes, there were a couple people on Facebook that made great points. They said his run as an IC champion, he did have one reign for 155 days, which is a lot longer than some people. And he had memorable matches. Some people were on Facebook, him against Carlito, him defending against so-and-so. Like, great. I get it. You know, but there's an age gap. And some people voted with their hearts, as Kevin said, and it's a nostalgia thing, too, where people were voting just out of nostalgia. Steamboat's the perfect example. You know, and Tony said it before. He won one match against Savage and maybe one of the greatest WrestleMania matches ever. And then after that, it's a fart in church. And you can say, oh, well, if he didn't want to do this, we could play the what-if game forever. But the fact of the matter is he wanted to be a family man, so Vince took it from him and gave the title to the fucking Honky Tonk Man who barely beat out fucking Daniel Bryan. Are you fucking kidding me? I get it. I don't like the Honky Tonk Man at all, but I voted for him. You want to know why? He's the greatest Intercontinental Champion of all time. That is the false statement, but the dude held the fucking the dude held the belt for 400-plus days, and he got over as fuck as a heel chicken shit IC champion. Piper beating the Ultimate Warrior blows my mind.
That is a fucking... He beat the fucking... Look, another guy. One great match against Roddy Piper against Bret Hart at WrestleMania. He beat the fucking Mountie, dude. Did he beat like a fucking WrestleMania?
As a contingency plan, essentially, for lack of a better... Like, at least how it was booked on the storyline. Bret Hart was sick. He had 102 fever. So in comes Roddy Piper, which, you know, may have been a plan the entire time. Because, listen, I'm not going to complain about that Roddy Piper-Bret Hart match at WrestleMania.
No, it's fucking fantastic.
It was booked as a backup. It was booked as a substitution. And he won it and then lost it the next time anyone saw him. Because back then, it was tough to watch, you know, stuff like this. Like, maybe he had a defense on Superstars. I don't even know. But then he loses it to Bret Hart at WrestleMania. So basically back then, all you saw was him win it and lose it, for the most part. Like, again, same thing with British Bulldog. He won it in 92. Maybe he had a couple matches against the Warlord. I don't know. Who knows what he did? But then loses it at Survivor Series.
And I think to piggyback on Matt's generational gap thing, like, we lost Ken Patera. We lost Pat Patterson. The only, like, old-school guy that really made it through, I mean, Tito Santana, but he's already coming up on the modern era. But Don Morocco beat, because he wound up beating China. And I think it's just because of the fact that China maybe gets no love as an Intercontinental Champion. You know what I'm saying?
I really think people forget that she was, which is so sad. And I feel like that's kind of because how she was kind of phased out for the longest time in WWE's memory bank.
Yeah, but also, I mean, the only real good match that she had where she won outright was that Good Housekeeping match, which was a fucking gimmick match. And then wasn't she co-champion with Jericho for a while? So they really didn't do her any favors. She's not like an upstanding Intercontinental Champion, one of like the bottoms, of course. But I think that's probably the only reason why people went with Don Morocco. I mean, if people aren't remembering Pedro Morales or even considering Pat Patterson, who's been on fucking TV like 40 years past any kind of championships, you know what I'm saying? It's like, I don't know, man.
Pedro Morales got a rough draw because Ric Flair, like, that's like, if there's one guy in this entire tournament, like, Ric Flair's a guy that people are going to put above maybe Macho Man, above everyone else, no matter what. Like, we could put, like, greatest managers of all time, and Ric Flair could probably still be – people will still vote for him just because he's Ric Flair. Oh, that's a terrible example, but you know what I'm saying.
Go ahead, Matt. I'm sorry.
I was looking at something, so. But,
okay. Well, I mean, I don't want to
– Valentine stayed there, too. He was successful over Roman Reigns.
Yeah, but that was around, like, the Tito time. You know what I'm saying? That's true. That was already turning into, like, WrestleMania-era stuff. Like, Valentine was the Intercontinental Champion at the first WrestleMania. So you're already getting into, like, more modern wrestling with the Hogans and all that.
I was about to say, you consider Greg Valentine and Tito Santana modern era?
I mean, they're WrestleMania era. You know, they've already been getting national exposure as champions, you know?
Do you think that Pat Patterson lost? Listen, I actually like Diesel's reigns. I actually think Diesel deserved to win this, to be honest with you.
Big Daddy Cool said he would put Pat Patterson over on Twitter.
Yeah, there you go.
We got a response out of Big... Oh, sorry, Kev. Go ahead.
No, again, but it's just going to happen. But Pat Patterson, the lore is that he won a fake tournament. So that's always... I wonder if people even put that into consideration.
I went over that in detail in the first video, by the way.
I did not watch that yet.
Yeah, and Matt explained that he was the North American champion, having actually beaten somebody for that championship.
Ted DiBiase.
Yeah, and then the
then
whole
he beat Johnny Rods.
Johnny Rods, there you go.
For a made-up title. Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't want to keep going on this because Matt put together a great video. It's up on YouTube right now. You should really check it out. He actually, mentioned some of the gripes, but then goes into more detail on what's coming up next. But I got to tell you, dude, this round of 32 has fucking amazing matchups. And overall, like, yeah, we shit on a bunch of stuff in the first round, but I'm really glad the way things are turning out. We got fucking Triple H and Ric Flair going against each other. We got fucking Piper and Drew McIntyre, the two Scots, going at it. We got Mr. Perfect and Owen Hart. Not fucking Blue Blazer, but Owen Hart. You know what I'm saying? Jeff Hardy, Booker T. Ricky Steamboat, Shawn Michaels. Greg Valentine, Cody Rhodes. Chris Jericho and Rick fucking Rude, dude. This is amazing.
And that's why I actually really did a 180 real quick on this idea, because the first round we kind of knew first rounds are first rounds. Other than the 8-9, whatever, you're gonna get dominating matches. But when it gets right down into that 32-16-8,
yeah, but
it's gonna be wild.
The 32 is fucking amazing right now too. Like, I'm looking at this, there's not one matchup I wouldn't fucking salivate over getting to see live.
No, that's great. Miz and Benoit.
Benoit shouldn't have won.
He fucking walked away with it. Bret Hart, Eddie Guerrero, Don Morocco, Diesel. That sounds like an awesome match,
dude. Tito against Kevin Owens too. My God, I'm the biggest Tito mark there is, but fucking against Kevin Owens is gonna be insane.
God, imagine that match happened. That match could still possibly happen if they wanted to. If the WWE called Tito Santana and said, "Hey, we have this great idea for you. Come work Kevin Owens." It could happen, Tony. It's not gonna happen.
I don't think the barbershop's open or the school's open these days, so he probably has a little bit of free time if he really wants to get on that. But I would not fucking be against that at all. This is going to be an awesome round of 32, fellas. Awesome.
It is. And
when does that start, Matt?
It starts Wednesday, May 13th. You'll get 8 matches on Facebook and Twitter starting at noon. And then Thursday, the 14th, you'll get another 8. Both days is 3 days. 3 days worth of voting. So the matches that drop Wednesday are done Saturday. The matches that drop on Thursday are done on Sunday. You can vote on Facebook and Twitter. Use the hashtag WizardsIC. Get involved. Kevin Nash got involved because we were chatting it up on Twitter. Kurt Angle got involved because we were chatting it up on Twitter.
I didn't see any of this. Go. What did Kevin Nash say?
Kevin said he would easily put over Pat Patterson.
Wow.
And then someone had said that Kurt Angle didn't belong as a 16 seed, and Kurt Angle liked that tweet.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so Rob Van Dam retweeted his match. So, you know, we're getting a little action on the Twitter machine. So make sure you're following us on Twitter at Wizards Podcast. And, of course, the YouTube channel is where the videos drop. I think I'm going to do an unboxing when I get my next Pro Wrestling Crate 2.
Sounds awesome.
Some fun content for the YouTube page.
So you're going to get the – I think we talked about this already. So you're going to get the one of the micro brawlers?
I don't know what the deal is, so we'll find out. I think you have to be subscribed for more than 2 months. So I subscribed last month, this month, and then maybe in June I'll get the micro brawlers.
I think you're going to get one.
Great. You can have it. I don't want it. If it's not some fucking old wrestler that I like, you can have it.
Beautiful.
AEW is a big week coming up. Dark tomorrow night has 9 matches. Orange Cassidy against Jason Cade, Phoenix against Allen Angels, Private Party against Lee Johnson and Musa, Britt Baker against Skylar Moore, Chris Statlander against Danny Jordan, Jurassic Express against Mike Reed and Ryan Rembrandt, Colt Cabana against Sean Dean, and Number 10 against John Cruz. So Dark is loaded tomorrow night. NWA Superpower is back tomorrow night. And then AEW is loaded Wednesday night. Kenny Omega and Matt Hardy against Santana and Ortiz. Four-way women's match. Sheeta against Penelope Ford against Baker against Statlander.
Didn't we see that one already?
Maybe.
I thought they had a four-way, the exact same four women.
I think Rio may have been in there, and I don't think Britt was there.
Yeah, it wasn't Britt. It was Rio. You're right. Yes.
Chris Jericho takes on Pineapple Pete. Brody Lee takes on Chris Daniels, which is weird because it's not Christopher Daniels, it's Chris Daniels, so there might be a story there. Jurassic Express against Best Friends, and Archer and Jake Roberts are doing something. AEW was fined $10,000 by the Maryland State Athletic Commission for blood in the match between Moxley and Omega at Full Gear.
Can I say right now?
Yes, you say right now.
Fuck the Maryland State Athletic Commission. Weren't they the ones that fucked over Lex Luger years ago against Ric Flair? They stopped the match for bleeding.
Quite possibly. They ran a lot of their big shows in Baltimore, so it's very possible.
No, I distinctly remember that. It was the end of one of their pay-per-views. I want to say it was 1989? I can't remember the pay-per-view. But yeah, Luger had Flair up in the torture rack, and they fucking stopped the match because Luger was bleeding. Bullshit. So, fuck the Maryland State Athletic Commission. Bunch of fucking douches.
Double or Nothing is shaping up. They already announced Brody against John Moxley for the title. We have Lance against Cody for the title. And then the Double or Nothing Casino Ladder Match, which is has Darby and Colt Cabana in it. And the winner gets a shot at the upcoming AEW champion after Double or Nothing. We talked Raw. Kevin, this will be right in your wheelhouse. WWE and AE and the AE Network are putting together the Quest for Lost WWE Treasures, hosted by Stephanie and Triple H. I'm going to give you one guess who should have probably hosted this show.
I can't say that.
I can say think Kurt Hawkins should have.
It should have been Hawkins and Ryder, yeah.
Yes. But they are no longer there.
Stephanie needs her gross tits on TV more often.
I would be okay with that.
They're gross.
Is it them going on the hunt? Because I know my hunt, dear good friend Mike Johnson was involved in the casting of that show, and I probably should have emailed him trying to get on that.
The A&E description. In each episode, Stephanie McMahon and Triple H will lead a team of collectors, WWE superstars, and legends as they investigate, negotiate, bid, and travel across the country to hunt down and reclaim some of the most elusive WWE collectibles.
Oh,
so they're going to Conrad Thompson's house, or
they're going to Jim Cornette's,
or Jim Cornette's house, or the warehouse.
They're going to WrestleCrap Radio's own Blade Braxton, who owns the Katie Vick cheerleader outfit.
They're not going to do that.
So it will
Katie Vick a couple weeks ago for Hunter's birthday, didn't they, or his anniversary or whatever.
I still haven't watched that, actually.
You didn't miss anything. It'll be 10 one-hour episodes, so be sure to tune in for that.
You know what? I'm interested. I'm down.
I'll watch that. I'll watch the fuck out of it. Old WWE relics, I'm in. Roman Reigns had a talk with TMZ, and he said that he's home because he has twin newborns. That's the only reason why he's not at TV, and which is why Vince won't let him be shown on TV.
I read that they showed his billboard for a minute during the Money in the Bank match, that was all over the place on the Twitter ski.
Oh, good. Good for him. Jeremy Borash, he was on 205 Live. He's the new host.
Good for him.
Oh, because they're doing like those retrospectives.
The matches that made me, yes.
Yeah.
Hey, you want to hear who wins Douchebag of the Week?
Yes.
Alberto Del Rio. Did you hear this fucking story?
Oh, did I ever?
This is more than a story, my friend.
It's a fucking novel is what this shit is. What do you fucking
Alberto
have?
Del Rapo.
What do you have her fucking like caged up for like 9 hours or 10 hours or some shit?
I just read that part today. That's crazy.
The victim said that Rodriguez forced her downstairs, made her wear a dress and dance for him. She told police that Rodriguez said for her not to cry because if she did, he would take her son and drop him off in the middle of the road somewhere. The arrest paperwork then alleged that Rodriguez tied the woman's hands with boxing straps, put a sock in her mouth, and sexually assaulted her for several hours using various objects. The paperwork also said that Rodriguez punched the victim in the back, causing visible pain. The victim told detectives she did not remember much after he placed his throat around, his hand around her throat.
Hi, Rhiannon!
Got that vintage gear on.
I can't hear you because he's on the microphone.
No, I have the headphones on.
But I'm reading your lips.
She's reading your lips. So, yeah, Alberto Del Rio, he's a winner. His mugshot is awesome, by the way.
Oh, like the fucking coke eyes like this?
Oh, he's all fucked and whacked out of his mind. WWE announced...
You know what? Honestly, before you go on, I'm very, very, very glad that Paige is no longer with that fucking animal.
I forget
that she was dating him years ago and there were talks about abuse and whatnot. And this kind of, you know, I don't want to say it confirms anything, but you know, if the douche fits, squeeze it.
Yeah. Dude, I'm going to go out on a limb and say bad guy.
Yeah. But that does not mean he is bad guy.
WWE announced last night, Backlash, June 14th.
Where? At the Performance Center?
They did not announce where, but I would assume it's going to take place there.
Paid attendance, zero.
Oh, it's going to be great. It's going to be a great show. I have nothing but confidence that this is going to be a fantastic show.
Impact has re-signed Su Yung, and they are doing a tournament to declare the number one contender to Tessa Blanchard's title.
Why? Moose is the champ. They should be going after Moose.
Moose is the self-proclaimed champion.
Moose is the world champion in Impact right now. That's it. No other discussion necessary.
Well, I will tell you who's in the tournament if you're interested. Right.
Uh-huh.
It is Rohit Raj versus Trey Miguel and Sami Callihan against Michael Elgin.
Uh-huh.
That's on the left side, and the right side is
Why would they put Sami Callihan and Michael Elgin against each other in the first round? That's so fucking dumb.
Well, there's a storyline there, Tony. If you're watching Impact, you would know. And then on the right side, the right side is Shamrock against Rhino and Madman Fulton against Hernandez.
Wait, Hernandez is back?
Yes, Hernandez is back. He was in the triple threat match on the Super Show 2 weeks ago where Moose declared himself the TNA World Champion.
I gotta start watching Impact again.
You really
love
do.
Moose.
Is Fala still teaming with TJP?
They are still a tag team, but they were not on this latest episode of Impact. But Chris Bay is on there, and him and Willie Mack and Ace Austin have a fucking sick match.
Was it a banger?
What?
Was it a banger?
Oh, damn it, Tony. All right, that happened twice in 2 hours. That's pretty good.
Kevin, what was your question?
Was it Chris Banger?
Oh, I fucking hate both of you. I hate both of you so much right now. Impact continues to bolster their women's division with Kimberly making her debut.
Chris Benoit beat John Morrison in the first round of the IC title tournament.
Was it a banger?
It was a banger. I'm going to fucking bang your head into a table, you fucking jerk off.
Bang your fucking shithole.
And Impact is unveiling a new show, a post-show, Aftershock, with Don Callis and Jimmy Jacobs on their social media and digital channels.
Is Jimmy Jacobs still there? I thought he wasn't with the company anymore.
At Impact?
Yeah, he's 100% still there?
He's still there.
I thought Jimmy Jacobs got fired from WWE.
Right.
That's what it was.
Yeah,
for being in the Young Bucks video.
Yeah.
What else? NXT, a quick rundown. Johnny Gargano beat Dominic. I didn't mean for you to fill it up. Thank you.
Well,
that's fine. Johnny Gargano beat Dominic Dijakovic.
Great match, by the way.
Tozawa beat Gallagher. And now Tozawa's 2-0 in the tournament, and Gallagher is 0-2.
How's what's his nuts?
They're called Gallagher.
Fired. Drake
Who?
Maverick.
Drake Maverick? He did not wrestle this week on NXT.
Because he's fucking fired!
No, he's still in the tournament, though.
Well, fuck him.
Chelsea Green beat Zia Lee. How do you say that? Zia Lai?
Zia, maybe? Zia?
Who?
The fuck?
Zia Lee, the girl from China.
Asian chick.
Oh,
Chickadee China, the Chinese chick?
Not the pirate.
I know exactly who it is.
China.
Zia Lee.
Yeah, but Aaliyah got involved, and she distracted Zia Lee, so there's a story there.
Aaliyah died like 20 years ago.
Not that Aaliyah.
Fucking Left Eye Lopez pushed her off the cliff.
Good night, folks.
Killer Cross made his debut as Karrion Kross with Scarlett, and he defeated Leon Ruff.
Is he Jesus? Karrion Kross?
He had an awesome entrance, which really went over well in front of nobody.
Matt, I'm going to stop you. Perfect TV entrance.
Crap. Yeah, it was great. And then he beat...
Yeah, wait till they try it on the main roster when the crowds are back.
Io Shirai beat Charlotte Flair via DQ.
Did she scream, not ready, not ready?
And Rhea Ripley returned. I watched this. This was not a really good episode of NXT.
Of course it's not.
I felt like everything was rushed. There's so much on here. I just didn't, I don't know. Outside of the...
AEW Dark has 9 matches tomorrow.
Yeah, that's a YouTube show. They can go as long as they want.
You go for like 5 hours.
But look, all those shows are job matches. You know who's going to win those.
I don't think I've seen one episode of AEW Dark.
Like this Io Shirai Charlotte Flair match, it just felt like rushed. Like this was supposed to be like a big deal, and then I don't know. The same thing with the main event. It felt rushed.
Oh wait, was that?
Needs to beat everybody.
Was that the catalyst? Was that the match that she got from winning the match at TakeOver or whatever it was?
I guess so.
I guess it was. Io Shirai won the number one contenders
match. And then they had this match, and then Rhea Ripley came back, and then Shirai was upset because Ripley saved the day.
Must have been watching AEW at the time.
Kushida beat Jake Atlas. So Kushida's 2-0 in the tournament. Cameron Grimes beat some jobber and then had a fight with Finn Balor. Like, this is a lot. For 2 hours. I don't know. I just felt like
It's 2 hours.
I felt like it was rushed. That's all. And then Adam Cole beat Velveteen Dream. The Undisputed Era got involved. Dexter Lumis got involved. Outside of the Cross entrance, I really didn't. You could have skipped this show. I'm sorry.
I mean, they're not all going to be bangers.
I just felt like it was a lot of... There was a lot in here, but I just felt like it was rushed. That's just me. I don't watch NXT every week, but I watched it for the show this week.
What a show.
I loved the Johnny Gargano Dijak match. I loved the Karrion Kross stuff with Scarlett. I'm a big Dexter Lumis guy. I was a big Dexter Lumis guy when he was Sam Shaw and TNA. So I'm excited. This is going to be a new... I feel like this is going to be a new beginning, but like more of like a transition for NXT, but I think it's going 100% the right direction. And I think it's a good show. Wrestling-wise, this is going to be a bold statement. It's a better show than AEW. In-ring stuff, I think. But I think AEW has more pizzazz and more, again, great wrestlers, obviously. I'm not a moron. But I think NXT puts on the better wrestling matches week by week. Tony, what? Say something.
Making faces because he didn't watch.
You said I'm not a moron. I just feel like making moron faces.
So that was NXT in a nutshell. Cain Velasquez... was asked if he was going to go back to fighting. His head coach said he's a wrestler. So I guess.
Oh, wonderful. That's on you, Matt.
Yeah, was that ever confirmed that he's gone?
Yeah, he's gone. Gerald Briscoe's gone. They cut a bunch more people last week. We didn't get to it because we had Darius Carter. Not Darius Carter. J. George. Taking up all our fucking time.
Dude, fucking A.
What?
Yeah, and tonight. Never mind. Okay, good.
XPW Original Supreme passed away this weekend.
That stinks.
So that's rough. New Japan Pro Wrestling canceled the Best of the Super Juniors and the Wrestling Dynasty show at Madison Square Garden. They postponed it till 2021, and who knows when New Japan's going to run again. I'm really jonesing for my New Japan. I ended up watching a bunch of El Samurai matches last Monday. I think we were done. I watched El Samurai, and then that led to Pegasus Kid, and that led to Chris Benoit in New Japan in like 2000. It was fascinating.
Oh, great.
Which led you to Impact with Chris Benoit.
Tanahashi and Ibushi are fucking cranking out those fucking days held for those tag team titles. The greatest tag team in New Japan history. Right there. Two fucking legends.
Okada.
Okada and fucking... No.
No. Naito and Ibushi.
Tanahashi. Yeah, Tanahashi!
Okada talked with New Okada?
What about him?
About his excursion to TNA and how they completely ignored him, literally ignored him the whole time he was there, and nobody helped him with the language barrier, and he went to the gym by himself, and he went to eat by himself, and they kind of just left the poor kid out on an island by himself. He spent 18 months there, and I think he was like 2-16, and it really damaged the relationship between New Japan and TNA, and the new owners of TNA Impact eventually apologized to New Japan Pro Wrestling to try and smooth things over.
Why did he just fucking go home? I would have just fucking left if I was him.
Because that's what they do when you're done being a young boy. You go on an excursion to work and get better, unfortunately.
No, he didn't work anywhere. He should have fucking called him up and said, yo, get me home. This place.
No, he worked. He was a scrub. He was beaten every week. I think it was like, wasn't he in something with Samoa Joe?
Yeah, he was Kato. He was like the Kato to Samoa Joe. It was terrible. It was awful. Now, the main event of the Shining Wizard Wrestling Podcast, as we've gone long, and I know Tony wants to talk about this, MLW.
Fuck yeah!
The AAA MLW Super Series. We go into the show. MLW had a 4-3 lead against AAA. This show was full of vignettes, excitement. We can kind of see the direction that the MLW was going before quarantine, and if they're still going to go there, it's to be seen. But what did you think, Tony? This is your baby, so talk to us.
A lot of big things happened. Davey Boy Smith Jr. calling out Contra, saying he wants his title shot against Jacob Fatu. Mance Warner announcing the Triple Tower of Terror, taking on Dynasty in a fucking 3-on-2. But then Mance changed his mind. He said they might get a third partner for him and Savio Vega. And they want both belts to be on the line. And they want Gino Medina's gold watch. I can't wait for that shit to happen. See how they're going to pull that shit off.
So, Tony, what is the Triple Tower of Terror? Is this like ready to go?
Kevin, you got a ring. And you got a cage around the ring. Because it ain't going to be no ladders. Well, maybe there's a ladder to get up to the cage on top of that cage. That's the second cage. And I'm going to go up there. And there's going to be barbed wire and glass tubes and all that shit. And then we're going to go up to another cage on top of that cage. And that's going to be the Caribbean Championship. The ML Dub National Old Boy Championship and Gino Medina's gold watch. And we're going to take all the gold and hit the pay window. I love me some Mance Warner. I love it.
Who doesn't?
They had a fucking vignette where they were afraid of fucking AIDS crocodiles or whatever they fucking were.
Oh, when they went to Buckshot, Tennessee?
Oh, Bucksnort, Tennessee. What were they? The AIDS crocodiles? What the?
Gators who do meth.
Meth Gators, that was it. And fucking Hammerstone's hanging out in the swamp, and they're yelling, come on, man, get out of here. There's Meth Gators.
I did see that. That was great.
That was good shit. The fucking the match with the Los Parks and Psycho Clown and, Psychosis. That Psychosis, by the way. And El Hijo de Cheeseburger, was that his name? Or Mini Cheeseburger, some shit like that?
Hey, Tony, the governor just opened up Los Parks in New Jersey.
Oh, I can't wait. I'm going to go see all three of those parks. That's going to be fucking awesome. Maybe they'll cook me some chorizos and pendejos.
His nombre is Nino de Hamburguesa.
Dude, let me tell you something. I hated this match. Then I started to love this match. Then I started to hate this match again. Then I started to love it again. I tell you what, man. There's some weird shit that entertained the Mexican fans. Some really weird shit. Like, fucking Hamburguesa was literally just standing around waiting for people to put him in positions to do shit. And then somebody was on the outside. I want to say it was fucking Psycho Clown. He's looking around, and the camera catches him looking around. And then 2 seconds later, he just throws himself on the floor. I'm like, what the? And people are eating this shit up, dude. There were a lot of good spots. There were a lot of bad spots. But overall, I got to tell you, I fucking enjoyed it. I don't know what it was. Maybe I was just in that mood, but I really enjoyed that match.
So, Tony, there's a character in Mexico named Hamburguesa.
El Nino de Hamburguesa.
Yes, El Nino.
So is that – and they were eating it up?
He's fat. He's very fat. He's eaten tons of things up, Kevin.
So it's not like cheeseburger.
They whipped him on the back with L.A. Park's fucking belt, and then they turned him over, and they whipped him on the belly. But it took him 10 minutes to do it. Like, he looks out to the crowd. He's going to do it, and then he looks out to the crowd. Oh, by the way, you know what a fair way is to break up a pin in a trios match? Kick the fucking referee. Somebody stomped on the referee's head. I think it was one of the Los Parks, and he fucking stopped counting. I'm like, really? That's fucking crazy.
That's how they do it in Mexico.
Fucking L.A. Park threw a fucking case of beer bottles at somebody. Like, literally picked up the box of beer bottles and flung it at somebody. It's a cocktail table outside in the crowd. He picked up the whole cocktail table, and they fucking powerbombed Hamburguesa on top of it. It didn't fucking break. God damn. It was so fucking dumb. It was great. I didn't want to. I hated it, and I loved it, and I fucking just enjoyed the shit out of it.
Did they do a top five?
They did a top 10. Yes, they did.
Top 10, yeah.
You guys want to make guesses real quick, and then I'll give you the last notes on that on fucking MLW.
All right, let's do it.
All right, want to start? You want to start with? Well, we'll start. I mean, the champ spot too. We know that. You want to start from number one or number 10?
I like going down better.
So you want to start with
10.
All right. Okay. Who's number 10, Matt?
Gino Medina.
No, Gino Medina. No, not on the list.
Tom Lawler.
Tom Lawler's number 5. Who's number 10?
Savio Vega.
Savio Vega did not make the list. He's one of your favorites, Matt. Not that favorite, the other favorite.
That's not my pick. It's Kevin's turn.
Sorry, you can go. I'm not going to guess any of them.
King Mo?
No, Dominic Guarini's number 10.
Why did you tell me? Didn't I just say Dominic Guarini?
I guessed half the roster. We got to move on.
No, you said Gino Medina.
Ah, damn it. Richard Holiday.
Richard Holiday's number 6.
Mance.
Mance Warner's number 8. I think he dropped a little bit. I guess because he lost that tag match with Savio.
David Hart Smith.
Yes, Davey Boy is number 2.
Hammerstone.
Hammerstone's number 1. They swapped places. I have no idea why.
Okay.
Well, whatever.
Myron Reed.
Myron Reed is number 3. Good call.
All right.
How often does somebody break into the top 10 that wasn't there before?
I don't think there's been anybody new in a while.
Yes, maybe we should put this gimmick on hold for a little while.
No, I forget. It's fun. What numbers are we missing?
You need number 9 and number 4.
Low-key?
Low-key is number 9. You're missing a big one for number 4.
Brian Pillman Jr.?
Yes, that's the one. So it's Guarini, Low-key, Mancer, King Mo, Richard Holiday, Tom Lawler, Brian Pillman Jr., Myron Reed, you're a middleweight champion. Davey Boy Smith Jr., your Opera Cup winner. Alex Hammerstone, the Meat Castle, and the National Boy Champion, and the champion Jacob Fatu. Now, the final thing that I remember, which is a big deal, we finally got some new shit from Contra at the end. They left Davey Boy Smith laying in the staircase. I don't know who it was, but Davey Boy's got the Contra flag on him. He's like bleeding. There's like a pool of blood, a puddle of blood under his arm or some shit. But then fucking Joseph Samael gives this whole speech like, we're everywhere, we're taking over, we're doing this, we're doing that. And apparently, they're doing this whole thing because for like the next 9 or 10 weeks, it's going to be all shit that Contra's doing on the shows because they don't have anything new in the bag. So I don't know if they're going to be airing old shit or they're going to have different shit, but supposedly it's all going to be based around the Contra takeover. So it's something new. I'm curious to see what they're going to do with it next week, but... it seems like the MLW AAA series is over. By the way, because Los Parks won the match, MLW won the series 5-3 because the Los Parks were representing MLW.
Yes.
So there you go.
Before we bring this train into the station, I'd be remiss if we didn't mention it. Dark Side of the Ring, UWF. I know, Tony, you were super excited for the Herb Abrams thing. I kind of felt like it was bleh.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
I did not watch it yet.
I don't think I really learned anything out of the ordinary from what I knew. I mean, it's really weird that this guy like had a serious drug problem and like possibly serious mental problems. And all of his friends, like nobody fucking helped him out. They were just like, that was just Herb. You know what I'm saying?
It was the 80s.
I mean, I get it. Well, it was more the 90s.
Yeah, I mean, but that 80s lifestyle was still kind of like accepted back then
and
in the early 90s.
He talked about him like he was some sort of fucking god. Like, even Mick Foley was just like, he was all right. He stiffed me, but, you know, he was a weird character and blah, blah, blah. Foley did have the line of the episode. I don't know how they find this gold to end every episode where, there's a rumor going around that maybe Herb Abrams really isn't dead. So they ask Foley, they go, what do you think Herb Abrams would be doing right now? He just looks at the camera and he goes, time. He would definitely be doing time. I'd be going to visit him, but he'd be in jail somewhere.
You would 100% buy those Herb cookies, wouldn't you?
Oh, definitely, dude. I'm surprised I never heard. That's one thing I never heard about until the episode. Like, this motherfucker put out cookies.
You know what's great is that you guys keep mentioning stuff from the show, and I normally would be like, oh, Spur, come on. But I have no idea what you're talking about, even after you mention it. So I look forward to watching this one, actually.
You got to. What's coming up tomorrow? The Road Warriors?
Road Warriors is tomorrow, yeah. And then Owen Hart is the last one.
I'll probably try to find it on YouTube or something.
Yeah, now, who's involved with Comcast? Is they didn't get Martha involved, did they?
No, she's in.
She's involved.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
How do you feel about her doing something like this when she's been against WWE, quote unquote, trying to make a dollar off of Owen Hart's, legacy?
I'll feel that one first, and I know Matt probably has something to say. I think that this in her mind, it's as long as it spites WWE, I think she's okay with it, and I don't think she looks at it as making money off of Owen Hart. I think she looks at it as, take this WWE. I'll tell my story here as opposed to with you.
Absolutely fair assessment. Matt, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm pretty much in the same boat as Kevin. It's a big fuck you to Vince and them, and I think she tells her story from her narrative, not the WWE narrative, where we're led to believe that, you know, you've heard both sides of the story, and that Owen was taking his firefighter's test and he was looking to get out of the business. And then the other side, like, Owen would do anything for the business and he wanted us to continue the show. You know, he would want the show to continue after he had the untimely death and all that stuff. So it'll be interesting to finally see Martha's spin on it. And
let me ask you this real quick now, that, because I know we got to go. But, like, how much of that, like, coming from, like, because Bret Hart has said that. People have said that about Bret Hart. People have said that, about Owen Hart. And people close to Eddie Guerrero have said that about Eddie Guerrero. But how much of that do you really think, like, coming from somebody's, like, brother, like, coming from Bret, how much do you think of that is contrived?
It's hard to really believe anything. You know, these guys are – Bret Hart's a storyteller. That's where he made his money. You know, and we hear it all the time on the Bruce Pritchard and the Eric Bischoff podcast. Tell a phone, tell a friend, tell a wrestler. Like, you know, there's fucking lore in the professional wrestling business has been built on just that. Just fucking rumors and bullshit and people not telling the right story. Now, you know, I don't know. It's a very sensitive subject. Like, do you want to say something where you're like... Yeah, like, Martha hated the business, but Owen didn't give a shit. Like, do you want to paint Owen like that? Or is it like Owen was trying to get out? He was a family man. Like, this is what he wanted to do. It's real, real thin line that you're walking on.
Real touchy.
Yeah, and not only that, like, you could also think, you know, maybe he was telling his wife, you know what, maybe another year or two I'm going to get out of this thing. Or maybe he goes to his wife and he goes, look, Bret really wants me to be there for him. He really thinks there's a future in this for me, you know, so that's what I want to do. We don't know what their conversations were. Maybe he told Bret, yeah, sure, I'll do it for you. And maybe he told his wife, I'm having second thoughts. Maybe I don't want to do this anymore. So, you know, a little column A, a little column B, maybe that's how you decipher or think for yourself what was probably going through Owen's mind. But, you know, you only get the sides from everybody else. And unfortunately, we can't get that side from Owen anymore, you know.
And it was just his birthday on May 7th. So happy birthday to Patreon supporter Owen Hart. Happy birthday. Thanks for supporting the Shining Wizards on Patreon, Owen.
Owen is still in the Intercontinental Title Tournament, Championship Tournament, so make sure you get your...
Yeah, I was surprised at the... All right, we got to go. He crushed Ken Shamrock.
Well, it's been an awesome episode, an awesome time. I'll be back Wednesday night with my D-Generation Y crew talking AEW post-show. So if you want to listen, tune in on the rant, rantemradio.com. We start about 10:15. Of course, we have the Discord. We're sharing it on Facebook and Twitter, at Wizards Podcast on Twitter, facebook.com/Wizards Podcast. And, of course, shiningwizards.com for the archive. Next week, we have NWA Tag Team Champion.
No.
Former Tag Team Champion.
Former champion, yes. Member of Strictly Business.
Yes. Royce Isaacs will be joining us. So that is super exciting stuff. We're excited to talk to Royce. Again, we want to thank Prince Nana for joining us at Prince King Nana on YouTube, on Instagram and Twitter. YouTube, The Prince Nana Show, and his GoFundMe. Just put an embassy forever at the GoFundMe search bar, and any donation will be helpful to get his book off the ground. He was a great guest. We had a good time tonight. Gentlemen, anything else you want to say before we go home?
I'm going to get that Prince Nana book, and I'm going to read it with his accent. He's the best. He was awesome.
I would have comedy shows to plug, but comedy's dead forever, so. No.
Nothing.
And don't forget to check out all the shows on the Shining Wizards Network, shiningwizardsnetwork.com. Great episodes all the time. Some of the shows that haven't been around in a while actually made a comeback this week. We got some new shit from the guys in Canada talking about wrestling. A lot of great shows over there. Go over there, check them out. We even got new Ghetto Geek Squad for you guys, so huzzah.
Huzzah.
Say goodnight. Say goodnight, Kevin. I don't know.
Goodnight, Kevin.
See you guys next week. Royce Isaacs with the Shining Wizards. See ya.